This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast. Initiate procedure. Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
Research that shows that bullers.
Okay.
Bull. Well, I can use my real last name, Bullschnitters.
Yeah.
Oh, we got it.
Exactly. So, Bullschnitting, my last name, is actually a sign of intelligence. There's a brand new story, brand new research that people who have the ability to bullshit their way through a conversation may actually be more intelligent, according to this new research. This is a Vice story, which talks about a new study published in the scientific journal Evolutionary Psychology. And researchers found that people who are better at making up explanations for various concepts tend to be more intelligent than those who struggle to come up with, well...
Oh, my gosh.
Bull.
MJ, I'm friends with a genius.
I think we're all geniuses.
I'm sitting next to a genius.
That's Fester, right?
No, nobody bull bleeps. I'm better. Literally nobody I know is better than Fester.
I'm pretty good.
Fester's Einstein.
I really am.
Fester's like, who's smarter than Einstein? That Tesla guy?
Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
I mean... really good at it.
I will say that Fester is one of the most quintessential bowlers of all time.
It's my gift.
Which is why you're so successful in the RV business.
Yeah, you're in sales and you're in radio, so you're really fulfilling your destiny.
Now, that mouth of mine.
Fester, have you ever had an IQ test by any chance?
I bet you have a high IQ.
I don't think I have. No, I never have.
Never had an IQ test. Well, could this finally explain why that classmate who BS'd his way through an exam often scored higher than those who actually studied? I don't know many of those, actually, but the study also concluded that skilled bullshnitters were not necessarily frequent bullshnitters.
That's exactly true. You got to pick and choose.
Like you have silver bullets and BS.
If you're laying it on thick every day, then you call yourself out. But if you sprinkle it in appropriately,
then you become that guy.
Where it's believable enough and you deliver it with such confidence that there's no choice but to believe you.
You can't let people know you're a fraud deep down.
Seriously.
Researchers used 1,017 participants in two different studies, examined correlations between cognitive ability, the willingness to BS, and the ability to do it well. The participants were shown 10 concepts and asked to use a 5-point rating scale ranging from never heard it to know it well or understand the concept to rate their knowledge of concepts. 6 of the concepts, such as sexual selection theory and general relativity, were real, while 4 concepts, subjunctive scaling, declarative fraction, genetic autonomy, neural acceptance, were completely made up.
What?
The willingness to bullshit was then measured based on those who claimed to have knowledge of all of these made up concepts.
Fester.
Oh, yeah, I know all about that. Yeah, you know, I studied that back in, I think, my 3rd year in college.
Fester knows what neural acceptance is, right, Fester? Yeah. Tell us what neural acceptance is.
Yeah. Neural acceptance is when you are accepted amongst your peers on a more cognitive level.
Sounds good. That sounds official. That really does.
How do you deliver it?
That sounds like something you could deliver at a cocktail party.
Seriously.
With
and if you didn't see him, but he used his hands in a really official way.
A little bit of hand talk there. Look people in the eyes when you say it.
Really confident.
If you really want it, nod while you're saying it. If you nod while you say it, people will buy it.
You know, I've known Fester since about 1995 or 1996, and I don't think I've ever met a bigger bullshnitter than Fester.
It's really amazing.
I mean, to the point where I think... it's over 99% of what comes out of his mouth is false.
Hey, by the way, you look great today. You really do. You got a new shirt. You look fantastic, MJ.
That's really a good question. That's a good question.
I love this story.
You know, I do too.
I'm glad you asked.
I was asking Fetcher some of his cliche salesman. He goes, well, you say, I'm glad you asked a lot.
only to the wife.
And then you say,
good question.
You say, that's good a good question before everything.
That's a great question.
That's a good question. That's a good question, Roxanne.
I'm learning a lot.
Not to the husband. Never. Nobody cares about the husband.
So if this is accurate, that bull bleeping, hang on, bull ing is a sign of intelligence, that Fester has the largest brain with the highest IQ on the planet.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Q105's getting you up on the right side of the bed. The MJ Morning Show.
New research finds that you're better off quitting at six cups. University of South Australia, this is in Adelaide. And see, I thought that drinking too much coffee, when I saw that it can raise the amount of fat in the drinker's blood, I'm thinking, you know, all the coffee creamer that you put in there or fresh cream, which is high in fat. No, apparently, there's a chemical in the coffee and has nothing to do with the dairy and the fat. You ever hear of cafestrol or cafestol? C-A-F-E-S-T-O-L. So cafestol.
Yeah, cafestol. I know all about
no,
it.
No, you don't.
And when you drink six cups, something not good is going to happen. That's exceeding in moderation.
Cafestol. Listen to this. Cafestol is mainly present in unfiltered brews like French press, Turkish, and Greek coffees, but it's also in espressos and lattes and cappuccinos.
All right, six cups of any of those coffees seems like a little bit excessive.
Yeah. There is no or very little cafestol in filtered and instant coffee, so with respect to the effects on lipids, those are good coffee choices. So there are some coffees, like the ones I listed, that have this cafestol. Other coffees do not have high levels, but they're saying that too much of those types of coffee is bad for the heart. So just the regular normal, like, coffee that people drink in America, is that okay?
From what you're saying, it sounds like the coffee I get at the Wawa, it sounds like it's fine because it's brewed. It's not like some fancy French press. They don't have, like, the Turkish coffee pump.
Unfiltered.
Cafestol-less.
Yeah, exactly.
How about a Café Bustelos? How's that? That's my favorite. I have about 7 to 8 a day.
Well, I think that might be excessive.
I need it to stay awake and work.
But also, I would imagine that all of the coffee creamer, if you're using...
No.
But also, wasn't there a deal some years ago? I don't know if they still do it, but the powdered creamer that people would use, like, in the office?
No, cancer
creamer.
Yeah, that's
kind of bad for you.
Yeah, wasn't that, like, filled with some kind of, like, an aluminum anti-caking agent?
Yeah, so it didn't... talcum powder, too.
Strychnine.
Well, there was no talcum powder in coffee creamer. What are you talking about?
I think she's saying talcum powder has the same kind of deadly stuff
as the Johnson & Johnson. I wonder, what happens if you use coffee creamer in your crotch area?
You know, I don't know.
Instead of the Johnson's and now they took that off the market, right? Johnson's baby powder is off. Johnson & Johnson. That's off the market, right?
I haven't seen it lately.
Yeah, I think it's off the market because of the whole cancer deal.
I did accidentally put Ajax down there once, and it does not feel good.
I'm sure you did, Froggy. But with the whole coffee creamer thing, I remember years ago that they used some kind of an aluminum derivative in coffee creamer, the powdered crap like Coffee Mate that came in. I don't know if they still use it, but wasn't there some kind of scare that the aluminum in your coffee creamer was giving you Alzheimer's disease or something,
sure,
right?
Sure.
What?
And aluminum in your deodorant, too. That'll
oh, that's
do
another
it.
Deal.
Yes.
Right, but that is also, I believe,
or antiperspirant.
That's an antiperspirant. The aluminum, yeah, I've heard that as well, which...
Everything's bad for you when you have too much of it. Did you also see something with the coffee about... You started to see something about brains, too.
Yeah. And then a whole other study is caffeine changes your brain, but it will not ruin your sleep. People think that if you drink too much coffee, the caffeine's going to keep you awake, but I guess this study says it's not. But when you drink coffee, it changes your gray matter in your brain.
What? Is that the story about it affects memory?
It can, yeah. And gray matter is part of the central nervous system, consisting mostly of cell bodies or nerve cells, blah, blah, blah. And when you drink a lot of coffee, it alters your gray matter. I guess it disappears. And then when you stop drinking the coffee, your gray matter says, hey, I'm back.
You know, I did an experiment on myself a couple weeks ago. You guys don't even know. And I just drank.
What are you, Mengele? What are you, Dr. Mengele over here? I did an experiment on myself last week.
Well, I just drank tea, green tea, instead of my usual cup of coffee.
Right.
And guess what?
My memory
was better, but my reaction time was slower.
Tell me about the science here. How is this a scientific study? Roxanne, I'm going to be honest. You come up with some kooky stuff. You believe in some kooky stuff.
But
I don't think that this was even remotely a scientific.
But this is scientific because now I'm back to coffee and I blurt things out quicker. My reaction time is better and it's usually wrong information.
It's the MJ Morning Show. Q105.
All right. Did you see the story? When I say F-150, besides the fact that you have owned F-150 pickups, yes, Froggy.
Do we have a? Is this a quiz?
Yeah, is this a guessing game that you're going to do?
Because I have an answer.
I just said the answer's F-150 pickup truck.
I have a guess.
You have Froggy.
In a form of a question, please.
Hey, what is your question?
What is the car that Fester crashed back in the day that the old man said, "Oh God"?
Well, that is correct.
Yes!
Well,
but not the answer I'm looking for. That's not exactly what I'm... The reason why I said F-150 is because I saw a story yesterday. Pickup truck-sized asteroid came within less than 300 miles of hitting Earth on... I guess this was on Monday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, on Monday. An asteroid, listen, the story says this. This is why I said F-150. An asteroid roughly the size of a Ford F-150 flew less than 300 miles away from Earth. This was over the weekend, setting a record for the closest known asteroid to fly past the planet without hitting it, according to NASA. So my question was, so the story says... An asteroid roughly the size of a Ford F-150. Why didn't they say roughly the size of a Chevy Silverado?
Or a Nissan Frontier?
More like the Titan, I think, Frog.
Okay, so
the
Frontier smaller.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a Titan.
Why don't you get with the automotive program over here, tough guy?
I am a Titan owner.
I am really...
Wait a second.
I have a Titan.
You drive a Titan and you didn't say Titan? You went with the smaller pickup?
Well, because I'm trying to think of those weenies who own the Fords. You know, we're comparing here. The Nissan Frontier is the Ford of the Nissans. You know what I'm saying?
The Titan. The F-150 is a fine pickup truck, by the way.
Yes, it is.
I don't understand this. So whoever wrote the story said an asteroid the size of a Ford F-150 just missed the Earth last week, as far as in astronomical terms. But why did they say a Chevy Silverado? Why did they say, you're right, a Nissan, but not the Frontier, a Nissan Titan? You've got the Toyota Tundra, right? The Chevy Silverado. You've got the Ram, like 1500, 2500, right?
Yeah, the 15.
Yeah, the 1500, 20. So why'd they pick Ford F-150?
Because you've heard of asteroid mining. Now there are asteroid sponsorships, and maybe Ford bought an asteroid sponsorship.
Or a Tesla truck.
Well, wait a minute. Maybe it's just the F-150. Is it the best-selling pickup in America?
Yeah, is that number one.
The number one selling vehicle.
Right, so maybe that's why, because the F-150, I think, is typically the number one selling pickup truck, and it might even be at sometimes the number one selling vehicle in America. Oh, Fester just brought up a list here.
Top 25 selling cars. Number one, the F-150.
Look at that. Number two is the Chevy Silverado.
Ooh. What's the one that ISIS uses?
Look at this. Number three is the Dodge Ram, the 1500, 2500, and 3500. The Toyota RAV4. What year is this? Is this current?
Really? From Car and Driver magazine?
Yeah, I guess so.
Surveys of SUVs in 2020. Yeah. Top ranked sellers.
So number one F-Series pickup, F-150. Chevy Silverado, Ram 1525 or 3500, Toyota RAV4, Honda CRV, Honda Civic, the Chevy Equinox is number seven.
How is a Honda Civic a truck?
No, it's a vehicle. These are vehicles. Oh, you haven't seen the Honda Civic four-ton vehicle? The four-ton load-carrying Honda Civic?
I like the ISIS Tacomas they all drive.
With the giant cargo bed in the back. You haven't seen that, Frog?
Love it.
What were we going to say, Roxanne?
I was going to say, I cheated and I looked up F-150 before we went to break because I had absolutely nothing to add in terms of that discussion. And I did find this really cool thing that just came out yesterday. So F-150s, the 2021 version, they convert their seats recline all the way down into a nearly flat surface.
Wow.
Okay, so you can make like a bed out of the head?
You can make a bed.
Wow.
So you can lay flat as the asteroid comes barreling toward Earth and hits you in your F-150.
So you're saying the F-150 is the most conducive homeless vehicle, right?
Yeah. Doing it vehicle.
Look at that.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It's the 80s and more. And the MJ Morning Show. On Q105.
Froggy, you drive off with Fester's car yesterday.
Well, the first thing that was glaring was knowing that I have to drive this car for 24 hours. Right when I got in the car, there's like a warning sign that says change oil. But not just change oil, it says change oil now! Capital N, capital O, capital W. Now. It's like the car is scolding.
I have never seen change oil now.
That should be the picture? Yes.
Oh, this is real. Coop, did you get the picture? Do you have the picture of the change oil now?
Yeah,
it's on. It is on our website. Is it under the MJ drivel?
Feature.
It's featured. Yeah. So, is anything wrong in here? Or is everything all right?
Yeah, all
right. Are we on the air?
We never know around here.
We don't know.
I have no idea whether we're on the air or off the air here. All right, so I've never seen a car that says change oil now. Froggy snapped a picture of this, and we have it up at mjmorningshow.com. That's mjmorningshow.com. All right, Froggy, next.
All right, what's up with the armrest on the left that flops up and down and up and down, almost like a skin tag? That thing, as I'm driving, it's going...
So
flopping. I took a video of that.
Are you talking about the armrest, like, on the door?
Yes. That thing's flapping the whole time I'm driving.
A common problem with the 04 Lincoln Town Car is a little button that closes that compartment, breaks, and mine broke.
Okay, next.
Did you get the left rear, or the left rear view mirror? Did you get it tinted? Why is it so dark?
I don't know. That's how it came when I bought it.
Next.
What's the thing that was sticking in my back in the seat? It felt like a globe was stuck in your seat.
That is called the lumbar support.
That's stuck in the railroad spike position.
I noticed.
I keep it to the very intense setting on the lumbar support. I'm sorry.
Next.
Can you explain the odd stickiness of the steering wheel? When I took my hand, it was sort of like a stickiness.
It's just general stickiness from my hand, I guess.
It's maple syrup from IHOP.
All right, so let's go on. The weird stale smell of cigars.
Yep.
Yes, that's an easy one. One headlight was out. Everybody knows about that one. Yep. Steering wheel pulls to the left a little bit.
Right.
It does need an alignment. You are correct.
I was wondering why.
Guess what? Before the alignment, change oil now.
All the distracting stains. I mean, when you're driving, it's just Also, when you turn, this seems to be a sloshing sound. Do you hear that when you turn? It's like almost like water is hiding somewhere.
Let me hear it again.
It's like a... like there's water sloshing in your car somewhere.
I think it's just gas.
Have you noticed that your windshield wipers make the wetness worse on your windshield? Because when I was driving, and it does nothing. The windshield wipers need a lot of help. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So... opening the center console was a whole new world.
Why is that?
First of all, the smell. When it was like old eggs and like eagle crap. It was like something very specific. Like had you like burnt old biscuit smell?
Next.
Then he had a thing of Nautica in there for some reason.
A thing of what?
Nautica cologne.
You have a cologne, okay.
A 20-year-old cologne.
I've never smelled Nautica on you.
Nautica cologne in the center console.
All right. This was quite a weird find. A bottle of Fireball whiskey was in the center console as well.
You have a bottle of Fireball in the center console?
Like a 99-cent roadie, yeah.
Why do you have that?
It was a gift from my friend Brian Beck, but I ended up keeping it.
All right, next.
Okay, I noticed... as I was driving,
put your microphone down.
Yeah, I noticed like a slight bump,
like a patter,
sort of like a tire issue.
Right,
and I think it's your right front tire seems to have like a tumor on it.
There's a flapping rubber on
like
the tire.
A boob. No, there's like
On the sidewalk.
Right. Yeah. So,
my God, that could be a blowout at 70 miles an hour.
Because when you hit the brakes, the whole car shakes.
There's a bubble on the side of his. All right, folks.
Well, it looks like a tumor.
Froggy drove Fester's car yesterday for 24 hours because Fester borrowed Froggy's pickup to pick up his new riding mower. Oh, my God. All right. Now, Froggy, you have...
And so there was just so much I had to get some of it out through music. And this is just a short little ditty.
So for you, music is very therapeutic. You have a little short ditty.
Very short, yes.
Not called, about Jack and Diane. You got a little short ditty about Fester's dumpster on wheels.
Yeah, and this song's called Piece of Ass.
All right, here it is. Froggy's song about Fester's car, MJ Morning Show.
So I had to borrow Fester's car. Smelled like gas and cheap cigars. The steering wheel was kinda sticky. Trying to drive straight was real tricky. This car is a piece of crap. Something kept dripping on my lap. Makes you want to puke at first sight. Only has one decent headlight. Surrounded by so many stains. Barely stay in a single lane. The driver's seat is really jacked. Feels like a bowling ball in my back. No AC, it can't be hotter. The speedometer's filled with water. The brake pedal sticks to the floor. And there's no handles on any doors. Fester, your car sucks real bad. Its condition is super sad. That car is a rolling heap. You only drive it cause you're super cheap. There's absolutely no power steering, leaving other cars really fearing. You're supposed to inflate the tires. Over 30 will start a fire. Let's push it in a real deep river and have a nice new car delivered. Fester, get a new car at last. Your car is a piece of ass. This is actual audio of it starting. And there I go,
man.
Off to work.
That is fantastic.
It's the MJ Morning Show.
Q105.
Roxanne, you said something earlier, and you said this somewhat in passing. I don't even know if you know what I'm about to bring up.
I see a lot in passing.
This is... Roxanne stated, like, the exact time she sent her first text ever. In 2004.
I can remember when I did it.
So there's a conversation going on in the room. We're in commercials, right? And Roxanne's, oh, yeah, and I remember the first time I sent a text. It was 2000. It was like, did you say May of 2004? It was
actually late 2003. So I think it was October-ish 2003.
Oh, my. Okay. You remember?
I was in a nail salon. I was getting my toes done.
What? How do you remember the first time that you've actually texted?
I don't know. I just have one of those brains that remembers dates about significant things. It opened up a whole new world to me. I was like, oh, wait, what's this feature on my phone? I was digging around in my phone, and it was one of those flip phones, too.
You know, you have those folks that have photographic memories. I don't think you have a photographic memory.
No, I definitely don't. I just remember birthdays of people.
You have folks that if you give them a date, they'll tell you what day of the week it is. There are people that will remember exactly what they wore. They'll remember everything, almost like they're playing back surveillance video of a particular day. And so you remember sending your first text message ever. I, on the other hand, I have no idea when I sent my first text message. I do remember, though, with texting, that I was pretty reluctant at first because it was a pain in the ass.
And it cost money, didn't it, every time you text?
You know what? Early on, I think you're right. I think early on,
it's like $2.
it cost every time you texted. I think they got you for like, I don't know, a dime or something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But on the old flip phones, to send a message, didn't you have to go like 2-2-2-2-2 to go to like A, you had to scroll through ABC.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you needed, then you have to go to the 7 button. And it would take you like 2 hours to send a message because it wasn't like you had an alphanumeric QWERTY keypad where you just go, I mean, you have to hit each number, the number of times. Because, you know, if you look at your phone, you know, the 2 buttons ABC, 3 is DEF, 5 is JKL.
You have to go through each thing.
You have to go through each number and you have to keep hitting the number to get the letter you want. It was like, it was ridiculous. It was schmuck-like.
You know what? It's so funny you're saying this because I remember staying at a girlfriend's house after that. And I was so into the texting. I had one of those phones. And it was like, it made loud clicks when you did it. And she's like, Roxanne, can you please stop it? All I hear is click, 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 click.
So, no, I don't remember the first time I texted.
What about you guys?
But you know what? I remember that I resisted. I know that I didn't want, and I think it was because of the hassle and the charge. Fessy, you remember your first text?
I think it was on a StarTech.
Yeah, I think that's what I had.
It was a black StarTech.
And it was just a pain.
StarTech.
It was a StarTech.
Was it? Right.
It was like a tic-tac, but a StarTech, yeah.
Duh.
Froggy, how about you? You remember?
My first sext was on a StarTech. I don't remember my first text, but I remember my first sext.
This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
The MJ Morning Show on Q105.
What movie is this?
Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Oh, Gone with the Wind.
What? Nice. Very nice.
The beginning threw me. Well, I thought it was like Wizard of Oz or something.
Who the hell pulled that clip from like 1934?
Okay, that's just now we know where she stands.
Okay, Gone with the Wind. You got it. What is this?
He taught me, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
I know this.
What is it? What is it? What is it?
Can I... Godfather... Do I have to say a number, too?
Hold on. What? Fester, is she cheating over there?
She's not cheating. Okay. She's not cheating. I'm looking at her computer.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, that's good, Roxanne.
He even knew what number Godfather.
I've watched them. Why were you stuttering over there, though? You're like...
Because I didn't know what number it was.
Okay. Right.
And she has
I'm nervous.
She has a mild Tourette.
Very good. All right. What is this movie?
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Okay, so this is a true story. When Froggy fell off the chair or jumped onto the table and broke the table, I pulled my headset here, yanked out. And so Fester is watching me right now.
What does this have to do with the movie clip?
Her headphone connection isn't
my
the
headphone
best.
Connection is not good. I have to be very still and hold it in order to hear things.
What she's saying is play it again.
Play it again, please.
Why don't you...
Just ask him to play it again.
Get a new headset.
That just happened a week ago. Kind of busy.
A week ago.
I'm busy following sports, not getting married.
Amazon Prime. It'll show up at your house in a day.
Okay.
Here it is.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
You're going to need a pickup coach?
No.
I don't know.
You're going to need a pickup coach? No. Listen.
Are you hearing impaired?
Listen again.
You're going to need a bigger coach.
Oh, now she doesn't have headphones on.
You're going to need a bigger...
All right, Fester just gave her the headphones. All right, listen again.
Oh, this
sounds
great.
You're going to need a bigger
coach. You're going to need a bigger punch?
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I don't know.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Oh. Say it. Play it one more time, please. I'm
sorry.
You're
going to need a bigger boat.
What movie?
Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
Who's beating her answers? Is she giving her answers?
I'm not.
All right. What is this movie?
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Oh, that's Platoon?
Yeah, close.
Jesus.
Similar genre. No, but yeah, that's pretty good.
Yellow something?
Nope.
What?
It's
Red Dawn?
Nope. It's Apocalypse Now, but
okay.
you're sort of sniffing,
genre.
Sort of sniffing up the right tree.
Genre.
All right, what movie is this, Roxanne?
Here's Johnny.
It's a scary movie, and I don't watch scary movies.
Here's Johnny.
Come on, it is a scary movie. Here's Johnny.
I don't watch scary movies, guys. I block them out.
Red Rum.
Oh, my God.
The little creepy.
Oh, Poltergeist?
Nope. The little creepy.
Halloween?
The little creepy twin girls with the dresses at the end of the hallway.
Play with us.
I don't know. I don't watch those.
The Shining.
Oh, no. Never saw that. Yeah.
Never saw The Shining?
Nope.
All right. She doesn't like scary movies.
Okay.
What movie is this?
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Blues Brothers?
Yes! One of my favorite movies of all time.
Froggy, this quiz is going over like a lead balloon. Yeah,
she said it.
I told you, I'm rooting for Roxanne. What movie is this?
Say hello to my little friend.
Oh, that's Godfather. Or Scarface.
Yes, I will.
No, she missed it. She got the first.
I got too excited.
I'm going to give it to her.
Son of a bitch, she missed it.
Say hello to my little friend.
Yep, that's Scarface. No, she got it.
Say hello to my little friend.
Very good. All right. What movie, Roxanne, is this?
Wax on, right hand.
Oh, Karate Kid.
Wax off, left hand.
She's cheating.
All right.
Wax on.
MJ, you can't see this.
Off.
From where you are, you can't see this, but Roxanne is so proud of herself that she's shooting us middle fingers.
Yeah, she just flicked
Froggy
me off.
And me and Coop because she's been trying to get her in trouble or something or paint her in a corner.
This is strong.
You're cheating, obviously.
No.
All right, what movie is this?
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while.
Oh!
You could miss it.
What is it?
Oh.
Are you okay?
Pony Boy, Outsiders? What was it?
No.
Pony Boy?
Come on.
I thought that was C. Thomas Howell.
It's, shake it up, baby, now, shake it up, baby.
Didn't see that movie.
Sausage King of Chicago.
Oh, that was Ferris Bueller. Oh, yes. I did see that. Oh, that's bad.
That's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
That was a bad one. All right.
She knows everything about sausage movies.
Getting the karma for flipping you off, I guess.
I'll give you just a few more.
Yeah.
What movie?
This is an awfully long quiz.
What movie is this?
Good morning, Vietnam!
It's that movie.
What?
Good Morning, Vietnam.
Yes!
Son of a bitch! Yes!
Don't try to trick me.
Froggy thought he was going to get her on that.
Oh. All right, next time I bring the pellet gun.
Roxanne is doing very, very well at this. All right, what movie is this?
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Yes! Home Alone is correct!
All right, this didn't work out the way I thought.
All right, one more. Last one, what is this?
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old
fan. Sounds and lamps.
That is correct. Just play the music. Let me play the whole thing. Hey, listen.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner.
Hannibal Lecter at the very end in the Bahamas somewhere, wherever, having an old friend for dinner. All right, I'll give you a bonus one. Last one. What movie is this?
English, mother. Do you speak it?
Lethal Weapon.
Nope.
What?
One more time.
Lethal Weapon.
English, mother. Do you speak it?
One more time.
Play it again.
English, mother. Do you speak it?
Danny Glover.
No.
English, mother. Do you speak it?
Oh, forget it. Pulp Fiction. I'm sorry.
Yes, it is. But, you know, you did say the wrong one first.
You can almost see her brain clicking into place when she comes up with an answer.
Not terrible. You did actually very well.
It's the MJ Morning Show. Q105.
ASMR, Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. And when people hear certain noises, or it also is visual too, so it's noises and watching, or is it more of the noise?
I prefer the noise. The noise is all I need.
No, it's a auditory thing.
Auditory. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. So Froggy, we have. If you're on hold, hang on. So calls, hang on. Get to you in a second. And people get like low grade euphoria from these certain actions. All right, so Froggy, what demos are you going to do now?
Well, I brought some very loud foods in for some ASMR goodness. A very popular one is something that Fester is going to enjoy, and that's a jar of pickles.
Ooh, I love pickles.
Fester, let's go.
Saw a pickle video that had 70 million hits. A girl eating a pickle.
A girl eating a pickle. Now, was that because it was like phallic? Or?
Crunchy and delicious.
It's not about that.
It wasn't sexual at all. Until Fester does it, of course. All right, now, Fester, you have to open it, though.
Open the jar?
Yeah, you got to open it because that's part of it.
All right.
Oh God, that was good.
Oh my God, that was so relaxing.
Now you really got to crunch.
Opening up a pickle jar.
And you got to whisper when you're eating.
The whispering is key.
What brand pickles are these, by the way?
Froggy spent a lot of money and got the Mount Olive pickles.
Okay. All right.
Got the cheapest pickles there are.
All right, Fester, go ahead, bite that pickle.
Good.
Ew.
That's good.
It wasn't quite crunchy enough.
No.
I should have got the classic.
Take out another one, or classic crunchy ones.
Get two of them.
Get right on the microphone,
too. Get two of them at the same time.
Get right on the mic.
There you go.
And do it again. Go ahead.
Double pickles in my mouth.
Right on the mic. Go. Oh, my God.
Slower.
You're not doing it right.
Look at that. Oh, right there. Roxanne's like, right there. Oh, baby, right there.
No, I'm just telling him you have to do it slower. It's not a rush.
Hang on, let me try.
You don't rush through ASMR.
Hey, let me grab some calls here. How about Alan? Alan is in Hudson. Alan, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi, Alan.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, Alan. So you're an ASMR fanatic as well?
Oh, very much so.
Yay!
And what is it for you? What triggers you?
The whispering. Especially if it's somebody that does like a popping noise in their mouth while they're talking. They call it mouth sounds.
What? Really?
Yeah, that's peanut butter mouth.
You are my kind of guy.
As radio personalities, we try to avoid the mouth sounds on the air. That's crazy.
The irony.
Hey, and how often do you watch these videos, Alan?
Every day.
Wow.
What do you do while you're watching these videos?
All right, Fester,
relax.
Let's not go there.
No, it's literally like once my kids are in bed and stuff like that, I'll lay down to go to sleep, and sometimes I'll fall asleep watching it. Sometimes it just gets me low enough to where I'm ready to go to bed.
Well, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks for the call, Alan. Appreciate it. How about Stephanie? Stephanie's in Tampa. Stephanie, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi, Steph.
Hi.
What does it do for you, or what do you like? How are you addicted to anything?
I really enjoy watching the food where they're just crunching on it. It's really mesmerizing.
All right, hold on a second. While you're on hold. All right, hang on. Here's Froggy. Froggy's going to eat a carrot.
Straight out of a cartoon carrot, okay?
That looks like it's out of... It does. That carrot looks like it's out of a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
It does.
All right, go ahead, Froggy.
All right, you ready?
All right, listen. Hey, Stephanie, listen to this.
This is going to be a delicious carrot.
Look at that rascally rabbit.
Stephanie, is that doing something for you?
It's wonderful.
Oh, wow.
How's this, Stephanie?
Stephanie, I have a question for you. Do you find that you need more ASMR in heavier doses to get the tingly feeling? Because I can get relaxed all the time when I listen to it, but now I need more and more to really get tingly.
You know, I usually watch it when everyone else has gone to bed, and my fiance makes me go into another room to watch it.
He
can't stand it.
Froggy, wait a minute. Froggy just... He's going to choke. Froggy's got a whole carrot in his mouth. He's going to choke over here. Does that turn you on if Froggy drops dead, chokes on a carrot? It just the whole carrot just flew out of his mouth, all chewed up into pieces. All right, hey, Stephanie, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to the return of the MJ Morning Show.
Thank you.
Bye, Steph.
Thanks, Stephanie. Jeez. Stephanie said her fiance hates it. Doug hates it too.
I got more.
That was beautiful.
Hey, what else do we have?
Let me get Ben. Ben is in St. Louis. What, Ben? Ben, are you an old Z1077 St. Louis listener?
Yes, since I was 14 years old.
Wow, Ben, what do you think about the MJ Morning Show coming back?
I love it. Thanks for coming back, guys. I listen to all your podcasts.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. What hits your spot with ASMR?
I actually listen on the Star Trek Next Generation of the engines humming on the spaceship.
Oh, what? What a dude!
You go to YouTube and you can listen for it for 8 hours.
Eight hours of the engines humming on Star Trek Next Generation? My God.
Wow. Yeah,
what did you do today?
I
hung out with the engines humming for 5.5 hours. It was a killer, killer Friday.
Ben, what do the engines sound like?
Yeah,
Ben,
give us a sample.
Just, it's hard to explain.
Hey, Ben, go ahead.
I feel you, because you know what else I love? I forgot to tell these guys, but I love Harry Potter ASMR.
Oh, thank God you said that. Potter.
I thought you were going to stop at Harry.
Harry Potter ASMR is awesome.
Some ramen?
What possibly is Harry Potter ASMR?
I'll pull it up for you, but it's like crackling fires wizardy stuff.
Ben, thanks for listening to the return of the MJ Morning Show.
Oh,
all right, Froggy, one more. We got to take a break.
It's going to be the big finale.
All right, big finale.
I want you guys to guess what this is.
Okay. What is it?
All right, ready?
Go ahead. Here it is. He's opening a package and... What is that, folks? Froggy's going to choke again. He's eating a package of 28-cent ramen.
And they're dry.
The dry Maruchan ramen noodles. You know,
you are an asthma one-trick pony, man.
38 cents a pop.
There's paired and chewed up noodle.
Wait, all over the apple.
Look, there are eight other people on hold. I got to move on here. This is crazy.
It's the MJ Morning Show. Q105.
Are you celebrity obsessed? This is fascinating. And, you know, this has the possibility of tweaking some folks. This story has the possibility of, I don't know, maybe some self-inspection. There's a new study out, and it says that if you are obsessed with celebrities, that you're less intelligent.
Okay.
Okay.
Like radio celebrities or real celebrities?
No, let that sink in. No, I think we're talking about real celebrities.
Okay.
Let that sink in for a minute. There's a new study out that people who are obsessed with celebrities are less intelligent people. Now,
makes sense.
This is, well, I want to know the details. I want to know the science here. But according to the test, which was conducted by researchers, that there might be low intelligence associated with those that are, you know, craving to be in the, you know, the celebrity appreciation area, or for lack of a better term. So those that, you know, live and die by, like, red carpets, blind items, Instagram pregnancy reveals.
So celebrity news consumption.
Those that care about all of the celebrity gossip online, that, you know, are you worried about the latest that Kim Kardashian is doing, or...
Essentially, you're describing us.
Show. Is this our show?
Hey, it's verbatim. You're describing what we do every day. Hey,
we are reporting.
I read like a 6-minute article about how Kim Kardashian posted the hottest bikini pic of the season on her trip with Pete Davidson.
See that?
No. You are totally describing us.
All right, Fester.
Yes.
We talk about a wide variety of material on this show. I am not personally celebrity obsessed.
No.
I don't think that you are celebrity obsessed. Now, Roxanne, I think you might be a different story because...
I'm not celebrity obsessed.
But you always love to drop a name on... because
I'm just telling you information about...
You've interviewed everyone on the planet.
Yeah, for my vocation.
Right. She didn't stalk everyone on the planet.
What about me? My favorite celebrity is, you know, like fishermen. Like C.A. Richardson, the local fisherman. I think he's like the biggest celebrity I've ever met.
The story goes like this. A study was published late last year. So late last year, just back in December.
An entire week ago, late last year.
A study was published by BMC Psychology. Now, I think that's like the part of the British Medical Journal. It's BMC Psychology, which is psychology focused. It's an offshoot of Biomed Central.
BMC Psychology is psychology focused, you say.
It's a UK-based for-profit scientific open-access publisher, blah, blah, blah. The study apparently goes on to say that celebrity worship and cognitive skills have been revisited, and there is a theory. The study asked 1,763 adults to undertake a 30-word vocabulary test and a digit symbol substitution test before completing a celebrity attitude scale, a questionnaire to determine their levels of interest in famous people. And participants had to answer yes or no to a series of statements on the celebrity attitude scale, including, I often feel compelled to learn the personal habits of my favorite celebrity. I mean, this is really easy to understand. It's very basic stuff. It's not like, you know, really in the weeds, scientific psychology stuff. It's like, essentially, that I'm really, really interested in what my favorite celebrity does. So if you tick these boxes of having a certain level of interest in celebrities, then you qualify. But they found that the correlation was that those individuals that were obsessed with all the details of their favorite celebrities' lives, that the higher the score on the celebrity attitude scale, meaning that you're really into these celebrities and you want to know everything about them, they found that it meant you had lower scores on cognitive ability tests. So the less you were interested in celebrities, the higher your scores were. So the determination is people that are really into celebrities and they cling on the latest, like Rox, roll out popular celebrities
like
these
Kim
days.
Kim Kardashian, yes. Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez. Right. I do have to say that when I was in my 20s and I was at the grocery store, I would be checking out and I would be like, oh, great. Here I am with all the magazines, and I would read all the headlines and maybe try to see what was going on, maybe even pick up a National Enquirer or something. And now when I see all those magazines, I'm like, bleh, and maybe I'll read the Reader's Digest. And I do feel smarter now.
I am mildly obsessed with a celebrity right now.
Which, oh, I know, the Jake Paul guy.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes. Okay. And I am obsessed with just following his stuff. I like to follow his life. I like to follow what he's doing.
That would make you a stalker.
No, I'm not a stalker. I just think he's a very smart kid. He's fun to follow. But it's only one guy.
I need to give Froggy a test. You need to complete an aptitude test right now.
Fester's a fan now. I took him to the fight. He's the biggest Jake Paul fan.
I'm a passive fan.
I'm
a passive fan.
Prick.
Okay, that's justified.
You told me you love him. You just lied right to my face. You just wanted to hang out with my dad. I knew it.
So there you have it. If you are celebrity obsessed, there is research that suggests that, yep, you might be stupid. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to put it. Let me soften that a bit. If you're celebrity obsessed, you might be less intelligent, lower IQ, lower aptitude.
Okay, enough with that story. How about some Hollywood gossip?
Yeah, seriously, Hollywood gossip coming up next.
Wait, I got a question. Are you meaning like you remember the guy who I replaced, who is very forgettable, but Scott, he was sort of obsessed with celebrities. Do you mean that, where he wants to hang out with celebrities all the time?
Who are you talking about?
He's talking about. I know, I told you, he's very, very old forgettable. Old Froggy. Less Funny Froggy?
Oh, Froggy 1.
Yes.
So,
I like to call him less Funny Froggy.
It's different. We're talking about people who have no chance of ever possibly meeting these people.
Because he was obsessed with bragging about who he was hanging out with.
Yeah.
So it's not that.
Right.
Okay, a lot of people follow celebrities.
Right, but if you're obsessed with it, if this is the same exact product that this celebrity uses, or I got to know every detail about them, or you get Google alerts every time they pop up in the news. That's a bit much on any.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Wake up in a good mood. Wake up! It's the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
You've seen the Geico commercial, right? Where they Lizard. Have a rat problem. Is it? Yeah, we've got a rat problem. And of course, it turned out to be the band Rat, Round and Round. Guess what? Froggy and Kim had a real rat problem. All right, so you got to explain. What happened, and this was a mystery in your house for what? How long? A week? 2 weeks? How long?
A couple months.
Months?
I mean, this has been, you know, I like to sit outside and smoke cigars and under my porch, and there was a sound that would be over my head, like in my roof, sort of like in my attic.
All right, so...
I'm like, what the hell, is there a midget up there?
It's Dave the Dwarf. Hey, listen, there are those stories about those people that camp out in people's rooms.
I always think about that.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that happens. Like, every couple of years, there's a story about someone that was living up. I mean, there was a story like some girl's ex-boyfriend was living up in their attic.
Keeping tabs.
Like, for like months.
Oh, there's been stories with strangers living in people's attics.
Absolutely. So, you know, they get in through a soffit or something, or they get in through some access point, and they're living, and there are people, they've even like tapped into electricity. And
they have little TVs up there.
They're plugging stuff in.
Got a microwave going, a little hot air fryer.
All right, so you're on your back porch, you're sucking on a stogie.
Yeah, and I hear footsteps. And I'm like, what the hell is that? I go, Kim. I think there's something, you know, and it might be a squirrel.
But we're not talking about...
No. We're talking about little
pitter-patter things.
Rodent footsteps.
Okay.
So we thought it was a squirrel.
Okay, so you thought you had a squirrel in the attic.
Yeah, he'll be out of there in a little bit. Then we go, and it's sort of... We pinpointed that the activity's mainly in our garage, because we found our paper towel where we put our new thing of paper towels... was shredded.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm
like,
what the hell? And it's almost like he was wanted to build a nest from it.
And, of course, paper towel and toilet paper at a serious damn premium.
For real?
Yeah.
So the little punk is ruining my paper towel. So we figured,
Was the animal chewing through the plastic to get to the paper?
Yes, through the plastic.
So you guys go to Costco or Sam's Club and buy
the bulk.
The big, you know, like 30 rolls of Bounty or whatever.
And we noticed that he's going through that thing. And then on our ceiling of our garage, it's painted. And we started finding flakes of paint on my wife's car, which was falling from the ceiling. Wait. So the rat was crawling on the ceiling,
I guess. Like upside down, like Spider-Man?
Yeah. Scratching paint off the ceiling.
It's Spidey rat. Really?
So my I said, let's just let it live here. I don't care. It has a family, probably. My wife was like, this is like the end of the world for her. She wouldn't go in the garage. She wouldn't drive anywhere because of this stupid rat. So I said, okay, let's get rid of the rat. Okay?
All right, so you did determine it's got to be... a mouse or a rat?
Well, the thing is, we were coming home from, you know, my in-law's house, and I saw it climbing on our extension cord that was over our... And I saw,
Wait, so you open the garage?
Yeah, and I see it go like that. Yeah. And I go, oh my God, I saw the rat! And Kim is like, no.
How big was it?
The garage door.
Yeah.
As the garage, you see the rat as you're pulling in.
Running away, long black tail. That's what I noticed. I go, she goes, is it a mouse? I go, I don't know. Do mice have like 6-inch long tails that are black and really gross looking?
Oh, yeah, this was a rat.
How big was it compared to your hands?
It was pretty big. It was like bigger than my hand. I mean, I don't know. It's a big rat. With its tail, it was like that long.
Like 14 inches?
It was pretty freaking long.
Like a cat?
I mean...
the size of a kitten?
It would put up a fight with a cat. This thing was pretty big.
Yeah, Froggy's got a rat problem. Alright, so what happens?
Well, I didn't want to hurt the thing, so I tried to think of numerous humane ways to get rid of it, so... What I did was...
Wait a minute. Are we joking? Really?
You're going to turn it over to the Humane Society for adoption?
I was trying to annoy the rat away.
Yes. I'm going to call the Pinellas County SPCA and,
You know, all these people have been getting dogs during this time of COVID. Yeah. Well, let's get a rat.
This thing could have been a pet.
Could be germy.
So what happens?
Listen, I don't want to kill the thing. So what I try to do is I got my big Bluetooth speaker and I blasted Slipknot in my garage for like 24 hours.
You thought you were going to...
I mean, Slipknot is like metal.
I know what Slipknot
is. Yes, it's kick-ass.
So you thought...
Live in Mexico, I let it ride.
Blaring Slipknot was going to chase the rat away?
Well, not just Slipknot live in Mexico. Which is like...
Was that Cancun or Mexico City?
Mexico City, I believe. And it is a kick-ass album. Okay, so that didn't work.
And the rat probably liked it. Well, now you guys have Connie chasing music.
I guess the rat likes Slipknot. I don't know, because I saw it again. I went out and I saw it on my fishing rods.
Now, if you would have done the Spice Girls live at Wimbledon.
he would have stayed for that. He doesn't love that. So then I was like, okay, so I'm not going to annoy it with Slipknot. So then they sell these like things that you plug in, and it's like a humane rat. Annoyance thing.
Oh, you mean like the high-pitched squeal?
Yeah. You can't hear it, but the rat apparently hears it.
Yeah.
So we tried those for a couple of days, and those things suck. They don't work at all.
Didn't work at all.
So then I went the old BB gun route.
Oh, wait, you're fine.
Literally, when I was... Okay, I laid in my garage for an hour on the floor. Like,
in
I'm
camouflage?
Like...
camouflage?
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rat.
I was hunting the rat with my old BB gun I had as a kid.
You're blowing holes in Kim's new X5.
Well, that was a problem, too. She was like, don't shoot at my car. That failed. Okay. Right,
yeah.
Rat traps. Time to do the rat trap. All right. Little beef jerky. Peanut butter on the beef jerky.
The beef jerky. Well, the peanut butter works every time. You don't even need beef jerky. All you need is a glob of peanut butter.
No, I looked it up on the internet. The beef jerky. You stick it on there. He tries to get it off. He's like, and then
Jack Links.
Yeah, Jack. Of course.
Or Slim Jims.
It was turkey. I used turkey jerky. Turkey jerky worked really well.
it's a leaner jerky for the rat.
And you saw the picture, how this all turned out.
So Froggy sent the picture around to all of us of the rat in the trap. So how long after you laid the trap did you catch the rat?
So here's what I did. I put the trap right by the paper towel, thinking he would return to the paper towel to get the necessities to work on his house. It didn't work.
Because the rat probably spilled something and needed the quicker picker-upper.
Of course.
Yeah.
So it didn't work. Right. Next day, when I saw it on my fishing rods, I said, I knew where the hole was. He built a little hole, and I knew he was going to get there. I put it in the path of his walkway. 5 minutes later,
his head
was in two pieces.
Oh my God. So, Froggy,
then, you know what? Yeah. Kim starts to feel bad for the rat.
Oh, the poor rat.
The thing that she hated, now she's sad.
So, Froggy no longer has a rat problem.
I don't think there's any more.
It's the MJ Morning Show. Q105.
Man, I got to fix something. Because I don't know how this came up. But Michelle and I were speaking a couple of days ago. And Michelle also told me that she never saw Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Listen.
It's a guy movie.
No, it's not. It was actually written by a woman. Do you know that?
Yeah, four guys.
Fast Times was written by a woman. I forgot her name, but she's pretty well known in Hollywood as a writer and director. But Fast Times at Ridgemont High, somehow this came up in convo, and Michelle's like, I never saw that. I'm like, wait a minute. I've known you since 1988. We've been engaged since 93. We got married in the summer of 94. You've never seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
You've probably been making jokes about the movie, and she's been laughing, saying, what is he talking about?
But then you also told us on the show a while back, this came up, you never saw Fast Times at Ridgemont High either.
No, never.
So you have no idea what this is?
All I hear are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Do you know who that is?
Is that Matthew McConaughey?
So close.
Is he in the movie?
No, Matthew McConaughey's not in the movie.
He was like seven when that movie came out.
Okay.
I don't even know. Was he even born when that movie came out, Matthew McConaughey? All right, listen again. Listen to this voice. Come on. Roxanne, who is this?
All I hear some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, Jesus.
It's not Keanu Reeves.
I don't know who it is.
I don't know if this movie holds up for people who aren't into this kind of movie.
Oh, come on. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
It's a great movie.
A high school movie?
Everybody
can relate. Look,
like The Breakfast Club. I don't know if The Breakfast Club holds up. It's a classic.
Is it?
Fast Times at... Yes, it is.
Molly Ringwald with a dumb haircut sitting in a library on a Saturday.
You don't think that The Breakfast Club is a classic? What are you, out of your mind?
Only one part of The Breakfast Club resonated with me, and it was when the Ali Sheedy drew the picture and then scratched her dandruff and made it snow.
Ew.
But I could do that. I have skin issues. But that's beside the point.
Oh, that's neither here nor there.
That's not here nor there. Yeah.
Is it like 16 Candles? That's a good the test of time movie.
No,
listen,
not.
Roxanne, this guy, you don't know who this is?
All I need is some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
One of my texting friends just told me who it is.
Oh, thanks a lot, Brandon.
So who is it, Roxanne?
Sean Penn.
It's Sean Penn.
But I never would have guessed that. I guess I don't.
Oh, my God.
It was directed by a female.
Right. Written by a female.
No, I thought it was.
The screenplay was by Cameron
Crowe. Okay, so Cameron Crowe wrote it, but the female director was
Amy.
Heckerling. Amy Heckerling. Gotcha. All right, so here's the deal. I got to rectify this situation. And I'm going to have a showing of Fast Times at Ridgemont in my little home theater.
Do a screening.
At the house with you and Michelle. Okay. I'm going to hold you guys hostage. Like, what's that movie Room? You know?
It's
going to be like the movie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lock you guys in, and you got to watch Fast Times at Ridgemont High. All right. Speaking of marijuana, because Spicoli was all high and coming out of a VW microbus with all kinds of smoke. And let me finish up with Woody Harrelson. If you missed the last chunk of the show, I was talking about Froggy and his medical marijuana issues, and he's got a medical marijuana card. And I said, Froggy, I got, you know, two celebrity names here, and, well, you might be interested. And one was Sacha Baron Cohen. Sacha Baron Cohen sued a marijuana dispensary up in Massachusetts because they used his name without his permission, or his likeness without his permission, on a big giant billboard on the interstate. And the other one I mentioned was Woody Harrelson. Froggy. Woody Harrelson is getting into the dispensary business.
There's a few celebrities doing that, like Seth Rogen has a good one.
Yeah,
there's money to be made.
It almost seems like he's late to the game on it.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You know, I know that some of the dispensaries here in Florida, I know some of these dispensaries, their daily sales are out of freaking control. It's, you know, it's like a license to print the, you know, green. Just like the marijuana they're selling.
Right.
But Woody Harrelson has opened up his own cannabis dispensary in West Hollywood.
Good for him.
Look at that. Now, is this like for just him and his friends?
They're all his friends.
He says he wants all of West Hollywood to get higher.
Yeah, listen, he just opened up on Friday, and he's a pot-loving star. He's been a very big advocate and supporter of the legalization of marijuana and industrial hemp.
Hemp. Yeah, that's right. He's a big hemp guy.
Yeah, this is before it, you know, really caught on nationally. I mean,
what's the difference between hemp and marijuana?
Well, hemp, I don't think, contains the actual THC, you know, the chemical in marijuana that gets you high. I think that's the case.
Oh, right, because it's in lotions and stuff.
That hemp does not have THC. Fester, am I correct?
You're going to
correct me on that?
I had a buddy who was into boating.
I'll tell you what.
Can I correct you?
No, I'm just going to say that we need to come up with some kind of nickname for you. You know, Fester the Corrector or something, you know.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
If we're getting into the nickname
Fester the Corrector.
So, listen.
Yes.
I have a friend who was into boating, and he said that hemp ropes were the best ropes.
Oh, really? And yes. Of course, you know what else everyone knows? Everyone knows.
People say Fester is a large, rude man.
There you go. Everyone knows that as well. Hey, so Froggy, man, next time you're out in California, maybe you want to stop by Woody Harrelson's new pot dispensary in West Hollywood.
Maybe I'll open my own place here. Froggy's Flower.
Froggy's Flower.
I'd work there.
Yeah, absolutely. You work at the front desk.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Froggy's Flower. How can I help you?
Is there another F word that indicates marijuana?
Fumes.
Froggy's fumes.
There's no fumes.
That's pretty funny.
What are you talking about?
Froggy's fumes.
It's the MJ Morning Show. Q105.
You agree or disagree? I want to run something by you.
Yes.
I saw a new study
that on average, men rate themselves a 5.9 out of 10. So on the 10 scale, men on average...
Oh, you mean looks or just as overall human beings?
Yeah, that wasn't COVID. Just
oh God, stop! I got spittle on me.
I didn't spit on you. I got a little cough for a second. All right. So on the 10 scale, on average, men rate themselves a 5.9 on average out of 10.
What?
When it comes to attractiveness?
Well, okay, just attractiveness.
No way. I'm like a negative something. That's what I feel, at least. Yeah. I'm real ugly.
You are very ugly.
Yeah, you are too, though.
No, you're uglier.
So,
I'm coughing on me.
All right. Froggy has this.
I'm okay.
Froggy has this living in a cave beard going on with these patches of ungrowable hair on his face. Look at his sideburn. He can't. There's like an acre of.
It's a reverse sideburn.
He has a patch. He can't grow hair.
I'm getting a haircut this Saturday.
I want to explore this a little bit here. So, on average, men rate themselves 5.9 out of 10 when it comes to attractiveness.
All right.
Now, Fester, rate yourself.
10.
Seriously, rate yourself.
I'm a straight up 10, brother.
You're not a 10.
If you don't believe you're a 10, you'll never be a 10.
I'm a 10. Listen,
there's nothing good looking about you.
Yes, but you know what? Personality and mad jokes makes me a lot prettier.
No, this is just looks.
Oh, no, no. I'm a total package 10.
Froggy.
Total package.
How do you rate yourself? What are you?
I like to think of myself as the catch of the county. Negative 2.
Yeah, if I say, which county? Glades? Come on.
No, I don't find myself. I've always, like Fester said, had to rely on my wit.
Coop.
To get the ladies.
What do you rate yourself on the 1 to 10 scale? Where do you rate yourself?
It just depends on the day.
No, it doesn't. Where do you rate yourself? Don't give me that business.
Yeah, let's go with today.
Coop was good looking when he first started the show, and it's just gone down.
Where do you rate yourself?
Well, compared to everyone else on the show, I would say a 9.
What?
Shut up.
Are you kidding me?
Listen.
You think you're better looking than Fester?
Yeah. First of all, hold on. I'm a 10, but old roundhead over there, guy looks like Charlie Brown with a beard.
Yeah, Mad Magazine face.
Seriously, Alfred E. Newman.
A new poll has come out, and over 1,000 men were surveyed here in the United States as well as the United Kingdom. To try to get a handle on how men feel about their body image after 2021, all right? Overall, just 41.9% say that they're happy with the way they look. They say you might call it a midlife crisis, but that number is even lower among men between 36 and 45. They say, I guess it's 39.6%.
I have to interject.
Yes.
So I just took the average in the room. So we had a 10, a 9, and a negative 2, and that averages out to 5.7. Right in line with the story.
Well, I didn't give my number, Roxanne. So you calculated that
so
too
far
soon. Before
I gave my number. So on a 1 to 10 scale, on average, men rate themselves a 5.9. So where would I rate myself? Now, hold on. Should I blurt out my number first, or should I call Michelle and see where Michelle, my wife of 27 years, puts me on the 1 to 10 scale, or even ask Roxanne where I am?
No. Michelle suffers from an acute case of marital Stockholm syndrome.
So, yeah, you can't ask your wife.
Which I don't know if Michelle's listening or not. But
marital Stockholm syndrome.
She will pick up the phone when you call, and she will say 10.
Listen.
She will. Watch. Call her. She'll say 10. Watch. Or not.
Okay.
Roxanne, before I call Michelle.
Yeah.
All right, be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't given my number out yet. I have not given out what I believe is my 1 to 10 scale number.
You better be honest,
Fester,
too.
Fester, stop handing her number.
I'm not.
I saw you hand her something.
He handed me a cue card.
I just saw you hand her a prompt.
Fester, you can't taint.
Roxanne, what did he write down for you?
He wrote down a 4-ish.
A 4-ish?
Trying to make the show funny.
Hold on.
I wrote down 4-ish.
4-ish. He actually wrote down, hold it up to the cameras. Yeah, he wrote that 4-ish. All right, Roxanne.
We want honesty.
I want honesty. Okay. So I'm and it's not going to affect your your job security here on the MJ Morning Show, but on the 1 to 10 scale, where do I, MJ, fall in your eyes?
I have a disease.
Oh, God.
You got glaucoma? What do you have an eye disease?
I have an eye disease. I do not see people's looks after I get to know them. Oh. I only see...
Well, let's go back to when you first met them.
That's actually true.
I only see their inside. I only see the inside. Oh, but ew. I do also see dollar signs.
You see what? Dollar signs. What the hell does that mean?
What, you think rich guys are more attractive?
What do you mean? Let's
go down our track record.
Gold digger. She ain't looking for no broke, bro.
No, I ain't saying she a gold digger.
No broke, bro.
You kill me, mom.
I ain't saying she a gold digger. She ain't messing with no broke, bro.
Does this song name Roxanne? Doesn't he go down girls'
Roxanne.
Names?
Roxanne.
Doesn't he go down names of girls?
Yeah. Right, so, Roxanne, wouldn't you say you see what? You see
dollar signs? Like, if you're talking about, I don't see numbers rating people.
Yeah, like the ugly rich guy you dated.
Roxanne sees dollar signs. Dollar signs. Dollar signs. Thank you.
All right, maybe she's the wrong person.
Can you explain that? What do you mean? So guys, wait a minute. The way I interpret that is that guys are more attractive to you when they're loaded and have money out the butt.
I'm just saying.
I didn't say that.
If Roxanne, yes, you did say that. If you just said that you saw dollar signs.
You literally said that exact thing.
You exactly said that.
Verbatim. If Roxanne could be the salami in a Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates sandwich. And Jeffrey Epstein was rolling video.
You can't ever spend all that money.
All right, so Roxanne.
You can try.
Where am I? And listen, don't I want me to be uncomfortable. Just
I'm not
drop the guard. Where do I, MJ, fall?
This is such a terrible question.
It is not a terrible question.
Yeah,
people are waiting to hear what low number you're gonna give me.
Okay.
All right, so,
okay, this is what I have to do. This is what I have to do.
Yes.
I have to pretend like I do not know you.
Just stop. What?
I'm in a grocery store right now.
No, you do know me. You do know me. Oh, you work with me every morning. You're sitting across from me.
I can't make a judgment with that background information.
Where am I? It's too much context. Stop it. Where am I on the 1 to 10 scale? Be honest. Unfiltered. Knock it off. Stop. Don't put on an act here.
This is
unfiltered.
This is MJ. Nice to meet you, okay? I don't remember people's names, but I hear them.
Stop with the role
because
play.
I am taking in people's.
Shake it along.
Okay.
Seven.
What?
You liar.
What are you, drunk?
You liar.
What is it, opposite day?
You liar!
You forgot to put a negative in front of it?
All right. I put myself at a six.
What?
What?
All right. So, you guys think that's too high?
Yes! Two at best.
I was actually going to say six, but I gave one extra.
Okay.
Seven?
All right.
What the hell is Channing Tatum? 8 billion?
Okay.
Well, this doesn't work.
All right. Call Michelle. I bet you she doesn't even skip a beat. She belts out 10.
All right.
This doesn't work.
Hang on a minute. Calling the house phone, which is underneath my side of the bed. This is the house landline.
Oh, man.
Let's see if she's listening. Our sleep schedule was nuts last night, so she might still be sleeping.
Good for you.
Hello.
Yeah. Oh, she's awake. Hey, obviously you're not listening to the show right now, right?
No.
Oh, don't listen.
All right. So, Michelle, I'm doing a little item here. On average, men rate themselves a 5.9 out of 10 on the 1 to 10 scale. You know, on the proverbial look scale, 1 to 10. I just gave myself... Oh, no, I'm not going to say anything. Where am I on the look scale? So, you've known me for many, many years. We've been together since, what, 1988? And we've been married since 1994. Where do I fall? Where, when you look at me, where is your lovely husband, MJ, Todd? Where am I on the look scale, 1 to 10?
Clean-shaven or with the scruffy beard?
Can you wake up a little bit?
Whichever one's higher.
All right, clean-shaven or with the...
scruffy beard gives you a 10. You know that.
Oh, I told you! This is so dumb.
With the scruffy beard, I get a 10?
Yeah.
And what do I get when I shave the scruffy beard off?
like an 8.5, maybe.
What?
Mm-hmm. I told
you. He looks like Rocky Dennis from The Mask.
No, I don't.
Except with a bigger forehead.
Snap out of it.
All right, Michelle.
What?
I diagnosed you as suffering from marital Stockholm syndrome, and I knew you were going to say 10 right off the bat.
No.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Oh. No.
All right, let me...
Listen.
I tell you what, let's let our listeners weigh in on how they perceive maybe their boyfriend, their spouse. All right, ladies, weigh in now. For all of our women listeners, I'd like to hear what you have to say. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Your thoughts on the 1 to 10 scale and where guys would place themselves? Any experience with an old boyfriend, an old fling, maybe even a husband? Have they underestimated themselves? Have they overestimated themselves on the 1 to 10 scale? So, women, as you're listening to the segment, I'd love to see you weigh in on this. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Is it your experience that men are way too generous, that they set a number way too high and it should be lower? I'd love to hear from you. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Fester, are we about to ask Michelle a question?
No, I was just going to think it'd be more fun if we had callers just give you a rating on the scale.
Well, I mean, who do you think is that? There's no way. Okay, I know I look like Mr. Vargas, okay?
That's right, from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
And the guy on the train from Ghost.
That's
okay,
right.
I get
yeah,
it.
Exactly, same guy.
But there's no way MJ's better looking than me.
I mean,
that could be a toss-up, actually.
I, seriously, it's a 50-50.
What?
That's fielder's choice. I mean,
I'm jumping off the Howard Franklin.
All right, Michelle, did you want to add anything else before I take a couple of listener calls here?
No.
She's drunk. Oh, there's no way you're
a 10. Can I have a private conversation with Michelle?
Go ahead.
Michelle, I did MJ's chart.
Oh, God.
And,
oh God,
but I just need one more piece of information. If you know his birth time and location, if you could text that to me, I can do the complete chart.
Roxanne, I gave my birth time on the air on Monday.
I wasn't paying attention.
I was born at 11:05 a.m. on January 24th, 1966, and I was born in New Hyde Park, New York.
There you go.
Okay. But what I found out from his chart is that you're completely different at home than you are here.
That's not true. Michelle, am I completely different at home than I am on the show?
More romantic.
Yeah. Michelle, am I?
No.
Am I the same person on the show as I am at home?
Yeah, unfortunately, you're kind of the same person.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
A lot of radio folks are phonies. Seriously, yes. A lot of radio people do one act on the air and they're different in real life. I'm the same person off the air as I am on the air. Exactly the same. My wife will attest to it.
All right. I
got to go phones. Michelle, love you.
MJ does morons in the news at dinner.
Oh, guess what? Guess what, Michelle's.
Yeah, he does.
I know.
What, say that again?
I said you do morons in the news with your family at dinner.
Hey, hey, Michelle. Anybody want to guess what Michelle will turn into after 10 a.m. this morning?
A grandmother?
No, Michelle, what you're going to turn into? The...
I know.
Biscuit bitch?
Mm-hmm. Yes! Yes.
Oh. Yeah, Michelle's mother and, well, kind of stepfather are in town. Michelle's making her homemade, amazing buttermilk biscuits, and she has an actual apron that says biscuit bitch. So,
bring some.
What'd you say?
Courtesy of Chloe.
Yeah, Chloe got it from Michelle. Was it Mother's awesome. Day or birthday?
Christmas.
Oh, Christmas.
Okay, either.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay,
can't wait for your
Mother's Day or birthday.
Can't Christmas. Wait for your biscuits. All right, let's go to phones on this. Let's grab Jamie in Winter Haven. Jamie, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi. Jamie. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on.
All right, other line.
Hang on a minute. Let me put that on. Hang on. I think I hit. Okay, here we go. Jamie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Jamie, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Go. All right. What about the 1 to 10 scale? What has your experience been?
I definitely rate my husband a 10.
And a girl.
Look at that. And why
is... We've been together 21 years, and it just keeps getting better.
Well, looky there.
Sexy.
Sounds like you guys are still in love. Awesome. Thanks for the call. How about Ruthie? Ruthie in Tampa. Hello, you're on the MJ Morning Show.
Hello. You know... My husband, when he shaves his face, is a 10. But when he lets his beard grow, that's about a 7.
So It's the complete opposite. Michelle likes my scruff because maybe it hides things.
Yeah,
so
me too.
I get a higher score with the scruff from my wife, Michelle, and a lower score when I shave the stubble off.
You know, I told my husband keep his face shaved because he looks so sexy to me.
Ugh. I'm sure he's a real gem.
I froggy. Froggy. Coming from Mr. Vargas over here.
I just switched to Sanka, so.
Ruthie, thanks for the call.
Have a heart.
No problem.
I appreciate you listening. Let me grab one more. We're running late here. Rose is in Spring Hill. Hey, Rose, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
We are well, Rose. All right, so the 1 to 10 scale, you heard most men consider themselves a 5.9 on average. What has your experience been with guys and the 1 to 10 scale?
Oh, it's weird because I think, like, a lot of them project a 10, but they don't really tell you how they really feel, like, the personal, like, that they're really feeling lower than what they say. So I think it kind of varies on who's being honest and who's really... You know, hiding there.
Are you being cagey because you're married right now, or are you involved in a relationship? Are you attached?
I'm married. I've been married for 20 years.
Okay, 20 years marriage. Rose, your husband is what number right now on the 1 to 10 scale?
My husband's a 10 to me.
Look at that.
Because when you spend so much time together, it's just attractiveness is both. So the longer we've been together and the more we've connected, he becomes more attractive. It's
so
just
sweet.
Like when I look at him, that's what I see. I see a 10.
You know, I had an uncle who was in prison once, and he said the same thing about his cellmate.
He spent a lot of time with him. He's just so attractive.
Hey, Rose, thanks for the call. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Look at that.
Thanks, Rose.
Bye, Rose.
So, Roxanne, you really think I'm a 6?
Come on.
Yeah, I think you're 6.5.
She's being
quiet. I gave you a half point for niceness.
Q105 and the MJ Morning Show.
This is it. Today's Trip a Day song for this Monday, the 13th of June, to win a 3-day staycation to the Wyndham Grand Orlando Resort Bonnet Creek. Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. It'll play in the 3 p.m. hour. When you hear it, be the 7th caller to win the Q105 Trip a Day.
It's the MJ Morning Show. Q105.
Are you ready for the creepy Airbnb story?
Please.
Oh, boy. Investigators uncover more than 2,100 images in a Kendall County, Texas case involving a guy and his Airbnb. More than 2,100 images, many of which show people in various states of undress, have been recovered from a computer belonging to a man in Kendall County, Texas, accused of recording his guests without their knowledge inside the bedroom of his Hill County rental cabin.
Yeah.
He's an Airbnb bastard is what he is.
Man, I'm trying to think back. I've stayed at a couple of those, man.
Dude, that's something. Now, Michelle and I have never stayed in an Airbnb. We haven't. But, you know, this has come up. We've had these stories in the past. This guy apparently was really a prolific perv.
Jeez.
But you think about this. You go to somebody's place. You got smoke detectors. You got all kinds of crap all over. I mean, what's to say that it's not a surveillance device? So details are really growing in this thing. It's a criminal and civil case. It's against Jay Alley. Actually, it's A.J. Alley. And this is a criminal case. Lawsuits were filed last year. It accuses this Alley guy of invasion of privacy, intentionally inflicting emotional distress. He now faces 15 charges of invasive visual recordings after additional charges were filed against them last month. Until last summer, Ailey's Cielito Lindo Ranch cabin, located on a secluded hill in Comfort, Texas, was described as a quaint... Oh, hang on a minute. Let me get in the mood here.
Yeah, get into Airbnb description mood.
this lovely cabin. Mm. It's quaint. It's quiet. It's safe. It's a lovely hill county vacation spot, except for the pervert landlord that is going to tape you having sex. My God. So this thing's just a mess. And, you know, you wonder, you know, how many of our listeners have been in Airbnbs where, you know, they've been...
These cameras are microscopic.
I know.
Now.
Well, I mean, they're really, really... You know, we ought to go to phones on this. Anybody... Anyone... This might be a bit of a tough ask, but is anyone listening right now where you discovered a camera? Has anyone been at an Airbnb where you were creeped out? You thought that something was going on, or did you discover something? 800-990-1047. All right, so anyone that would like to add to this story, if you're an Airbnb user, have you ever stumbled across something that just didn't seem right in an Airbnb that you had rented? Or did you literally, physically, actually discover something? You know, they've got smoke detectors these days that someone can put a smoke detector up on the ceiling and you think, oh, look, oh, I feel great. You know, I got a smoke detector up there. And if there's a fire or smoke, we'll be alerted. I feel really safe. Meanwhile, there's a flipping video camera in the smoke detector with an SD card that's recording, you know, whatever you're doing in the bed.
I have an Airbnb and you can have. Cameras.
Wait a minute, you have one?
Yes.
So you have a property that you rent out on Airbnb?
Yes. And you can have exterior cameras, surveillance, outside, of course.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that you're allowed to have exterior cameras, but you're not allowed to, according to the Airbnb rules, you're not supposed to have interior cameras, correct?
Yes, and you need to state its presence if you have that surveillance.
So if you have surveillance outside... Mm-hmm. You need to, in the listing, say that you do have cameras on the outside of the property.
Yes.
Yeah, of course they're not going to advertise that they have cameras on the inside. If you're that kind of creepy guy, you don't give a crap about Airbnb rules.
Hey, like I said, you know, asking for calls on this might be a tough ask. But if anyone, I see Coop screening a couple. Let me see if anything develops here. But if anyone has an Airbnb story, if you were just creeped out and you thought something was off, or if you know of a story, did something happen to a friend, a relative, a coworker, or did you ever discover something in an Airbnb? This guy in Texas had 2,100 images taken from guests inside his little quaint cabin. Undressed people having sex.
Ew.
All right, 800-990-1047. Yeah, we have some calls on hold here. 800-990-1047, that's how you get in. 800-990-1047. Let me grab Gene. Can I grab Gene in St. Pete? All right, Gene is ready to go. Gene is in St. Pete. Hi, Gene. You're on the MJ Morning Show.
Good morning. How are you? Love you guys.
Thank you, Gene.
My girlfriend got married. Now I'm going back 40 years. She got married and went to the Poconos on her honeymoon. A year later, another one of our friends got married and went to the same place because they had such a great time. And they, on the channels, it says if you want to watch X-rated movies, and they turned it on, and her girlfriend was on there.
What?
Yeah.
What?
A year later. Yeah.
Well, hold on. All right, wait a sec. So, the place was used once by one individual, and then friends, you said, went back a year later?
Not went back. They got married.
Another
friend of ours got married.
Okay.
And they went to the same place because she raved about this place.
Gotcha.
How beautiful it was. And then when they said, if you want to watch X-rated movies, you hit this channel. And our girlfriend was on there with her husband.
Like the a movie so they recorded?
So they took cameras. They recorded it. Yeah, when they were there a year ago, they recorded everybody. And then when my girlfriend went back, my other girlfriend...
Well, what kind of place was this? Was this like an individual place?
It's a honeymoon rental place.
Just a so does this place have multiple honeymoon places?
Yes.
So multiple rooms. So this place was recording guests and then making the videos available on their internal TV?
It's like a movie.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense because I guess that means you don't want any repeat business. You don't want those people who've been in the past to come back because they might see themselves on the available entertainment.
So, wait a minute. This honeymoon place in the Poconos, they were running like some kind of video device?
Yeah.
Playing videos that they recorded in their own honeymoon suites
of
previous guests having sex?
Yes.
You can advertise the most original content on your dirty channels.
Oh my God.
It's amazing.
Hey, come on down and see previous honeymoon couples boom, boom. Wow.
But most people don't go back to the Poconos for their anniversary. They just go there for their honeymoon. So I think they never thought anybody would see,
risky move.
All right, so wait, it was the same people. They went back to the same. That's right. Okay,
It was a friend.
They saw their friend.
Well, okay, that's right. So it was the friend. Right, I'm just trying to get it all straight.
I go somewhere 1 year for vacation. They make a video of me. You go the next year, and you see me on TV.
I got it now. So
and Michelle's calling me at all weird hours. I don't need the hassle.
Gene, that is crazy.
That was creepy. Let me tell you.
All right, Gene. Wow. Listen, I told you. Hey, Gene, thanks for the call. Wow.
Bye, Gene.
Let me grab one more here. Hey, Gary's in Clearwater. Hi, Gary.
How you doing?
We're doing well. What happened?
About 6 years ago, I'm an engineer and kind of aware of the world of surveillance a little bit. And I went and bought myself a counter-surveillance tool. My wife and I do a lot of hotels and do a lot of traveling. And we did an Airbnb actually right where we lived, which at the time was Buffalo, New York, Niagara Falls, New York, and went to the Airbnb in Niagara Falls, New York, and sure enough, I took a look with my device, looked around, and there was one in an alarm clock and one in a sprinkler head.
Oh, my God. All right, so wait a minute. You bought what you said was a counter-surveillance device. So did you buy, you bought one of those devices that will pick up, like, electronic signals in a room, like a little antenna, and it'll alert you if there's an electronic signal coming from somewhere?
It will show an infrared, almost you can see the camera's lens.
Wow.
Yeah, this device was able to allow you to see the lens that's looking at you. Like I said, I was aware of the world going into, this type of scenario with all these cameras about 5 years ago. And, I went and bought myself something. And sure enough, because I know the world turns into, situations like this. And sure enough, it had happened. And once we called the police, it turned into a police matter, and it refunded us, and immediately tried to apologize and all this stuff. But it turned into a police matter. Then,
did you ever find out? Now, the owner of this rental place, did you ever find out what was their gig? What were they doing? Were the police able to recover any like recording devices or SD cards that had other people being videoed?
They did for our room. I don't know about others. They did find the devices that I had figured were recording devices. And I don't know about all the rooms, but they had said that they have been doing this before and got charges pressed on them.
That's amazing. All right, listen, I didn't know if I was going to get calls, and we got two good calls. All right, Gary, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
It's amazing. Wow. Listen, I don't want to creep people out. But when I saw the story about this guy with this little cabin, this rental cabin in Texas, and then it turns into a case and they find more than 2,100 images of people that have stayed in this cabin, and he's got video from the bedroom of people doing it, people undressed,
I don't understand the device that guy's talking about. How could he have a device that shows what that camera is shooting?
I tell you what. Fester, go to Amazon right now.
It's impossible.
No, it's not.
Which guy are you talking about? The homeowner in Texas?
Gary. Yeah.
It's an anti-surveillance device.
Fester. Yeah, that's great. Fester. I don't know what...
Look it up on your computer, you moron.
Go to Amazon right now. Hang on, before we move on.
Jeez. You are such a dolt, Froggy.
God, what a jerk.
What a jerk you are. Froggy and I are going through something right now.
So in the Amazon search box, type in electronic counter surveillance device and see what comes up. Electronic counter surveillance.
Surveillance.
No, that's not.
They'll correct it.
All right.
Surveillance. All right. Compact indoor plug-in smart camera.
No, that's not it. You need a counter surveillance device. So hold on. Keep going. Nah, I don't think you typed it in. I'm telling you, there are devices. Like those spy stores? So you have those spy stores out there. There used to be like, wasn't there a spy store?
There was one
store
in Pinellas Park.
There used to be one on
Park Boulevard.
On Park Boulevard, exactly. Yeah. Once you came off Gandhi, you went over the hump, and you got right past where the old Pinellas Mall used to be.
Oh, the place with the old investigator eye in the front.
Yeah. There used to be like a spy shop in there, wasn't it? Like years ago.
I almost don't want to know if there's a camera watching me.
I want to know if there's a camera watching you.
Yeah, Festa, what did you put in the search box?
All right, electronic counter. And then counter is also a place where you put things. So I'm getting all kinds of things.
No, I'm telling you, you can get devices that can hunt out. I'm telling you.
Every home I go into, I mean, even like my close friends, I assume I am on camera the whole time.
That's why she always talks like, hi, I'm Roxanne Wilder. Thank you for having me to your home.
Why you try to sound like Snagglepuss?
Roxanne doesn't sound like Snagglepuss.
Hello, exit stage left. Yeah, heavens to Murgatroyd.
Boy, Froggy, you and I are going to be fighting later. Froggy and I are going through something right now. We're having creative differences.
Maybe you can come together later today.
Well, that's what we're hoping.
Okay. We have to introduce the Beach Boys later, MJ. You want to come?
First of all, Fester, you're a dope.
Because he found it in 2 seconds.
I'm on Amazon on my phone right now, and I just typed in counter surveillance, spelling surveillance correctly.
Okay, they correct your spelling.
I have all kinds of stuff. Well, it obviously didn't work for you, so I have all kinds of stuff. Here's the Watney anti-spy detector, bug detector.
How does it find it, though?
DEFCON security products, GPS tracker finder, law grade. Here's the hidden camera detector, RF signal detector,
GPS. How much are they?
$48.99.
Oh, I want one.
So if you go on Amazon or if you go on the Googles and you just type in
smart
hidden camera detectors, type in hidden camera detectors.
Yeah, we didn't type those words and we typed in counter surveillance.
Well,
which puts little cameras on your counter.
No, you butchered the spelling on everything.
It corrects your spelling.
It didn't, obviously.
This is right here showing for other surveillance spelling.
All right, Froggy, I approve of you beating Fester.
Thank you, man. You guys are such a bum.
This place is just a... Never mind.
Can't even think of a word.
No, I can think of a word. I can think of a word. And the second half of the word's hole. But I'm walking away from it.
What, donut hole?
No, not a donut hole. I'm surrounded by them.
What, a peephole?
Yeah, I was thinking of peephole.
I feel like
or something else.
A watering hole?
No.
But?
No.
It's the MJ Morning Show.
Q105.
Froggy stumbled across another MJ Morning Show great old sound effect that we used over and over again. Coop, do you have that handy? Do you have that pulled down yet?
Yeah, I just gave it to you as well. Yellow button.
Oh, it's yellow button. All right, hang on. Who remembers this one?
Holy God!
If anybody could, oh my gosh, I can't imagine anybody listening remembers who that is.
Holy God!
Oh, that was the best.
Fester knows.
Holy God!
Yeah, I know who he is.
I was looking for classic clips, and I came across that, and I was like, oh, it was like just shocking to hear it.
That's going to be on the hard drive, but again, it's going to take me years to go through the hard drive.
Holy God!
Now, Fester, you know what that's from, right?
I know exactly who that is.
Of course he does.
Of course I know.
I forgot his first name, but I remember he was blank the witness.
Matt the Witness.
Matt. You know what? I was just about to say Matt the Witness.
Of course you were.
But I didn't want to confuse him with Matt, our buddy from the sheriff's office.
We have like six friends named Matt.
Yeah, we do, actually.
Matt the Cop, not Matt the Witness.
Right. So this is Matt the Witness.
Holy God.
All right, Coop, you don't know about this.
Roxanne, he was born.
Yeah, Roxanne, you don't know about this.
I don't.
This guy called the show because he witnessed a car accident that Fester was in on Himes Avenue in South Tampa, right at the YMCA. So you have the in South Tampa on Himes. You know where the YMCA is on Himes? So Fester was dropping off something at my house in his like burgundy colored.
It was the black one.
No, it was a black truck.
It was a black one. Because you had a burgundy F-150 and then you had a black F-150.
I bought the burgundy after the black.
Okay, all right. So Fester had a black F-150. What was that, like a 99 or something?
It was a 99 F-150, my first new car.
Fester was dropping off something at my house because I needed his flatbed, right? I had a big box.
Of course, Fester's been happening for 20 years, obviously.
It was an old radio.
Zenith.
It was a crated old radio.
It was a great example of a Zenith 15U-269 radio from 1938.
All palletized.
It was in a crate and everything. So Fester drops it off at my house. Then he's leaving, going back to the Clear Channel building before iHeart. He's going back to the Clear Channel building right on Gandhi by the railroad tracks right across Mewhall. And he's heading south on Himes, and he's right at the YMCA when Fester claims that a school bus cut him off.
Claims?
They do that.
It happened.
And Fester was forced off the road, drove through the YMC park. He drove right through. I need some music here. I need some YMCA music. Would you please? So Fester claims that he was forced off into the YMCA parking lot. Your truck smashed through all of those. They have those little like
stumps.
They were like little like 3 foot tall.
Yeah.
3 foot tall telephone poles.
I don't even think they were that tall. I think it might be like a foot, foot and a half.
Maybe a foot and a half. Okay, maybe 2 feet, right?
Maybe.
All right. So this all happened where at the YMCA?
Young man, yeah. There's no need to feel down.
I say, young man.
Fat man crashes through parking lot.
So the bus forces, Coop, just hit pause and just be ready when I point to you, because I'm going to need some more music here in a minute.
We're coming back to you, Coop.
All right, so Fester's forced into the YMCA and just hits all of these little, what do you call those, like, not barricades, or they're, like, almost like guardrail-like things, but they were made out of telephone pole material.
Like landscaping stumps to keep you from driving on the grass.
So Fester mows over a whole row of those, and then crashes head on into a tree into the YMCA parking lot.
There's one tree in this whole stinking field, and I hit it.
He hits it.
He could have killed himself.
An oak tree, and Fester's got this big giant V in the front of his Ford F-150.
I remember watching the news that night, and the headline comes up, radio personality and horrible car wreck, and it was Fester, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I mean, not awesome.
Airbags went off, and you didn't even have your seatbelt on, because back then you were even fatter, and you couldn't wear your seatbelt, because you were all jammed and wedged in. You thought you didn't need a seatbelt.
The fat helped him, though.
EMS came to me.
It's like an airbag.
They said, they go, you know, sir, your size saved your life. Because there was very little range of motion between the airbag going off and me being so fat.
It's very compacted.
I didn't move very far.
It's the only time being fat is good for you.
You were like shoehorned in there.
I mean, yeah.
Protected all of your organs.
You were your own airbag is what it is.
Remember you had to wear a neck brace? He was all messed up for a while. Did you have a brace on your neck?
No, I didn't have a neck brace.
I remember you were
anyway,
kind of had a neck brace for stunts.
Anyway, Matt the Witness. This was a guy that was listening to our show. He saw the accident, and he called in, and that's when he delivered this famous line describing Fester's accident.
Holy God!
So great. Yeah.
That is the best. So this guy witnessed Fester allegedly get cut off. I still don't know if...
Allegedly? Whatever happened with that, Fester? Was there ever...
Yeah. Well, first of all, we hired the greatest traffic lawyer in the history of Tampa Bay.
Ty Trainer.
Ty Trainer. Ty Trainer.
Oh, he's the best. Yeah. I call him all the time. Yeah.
Ty Trainer. Yep.
You call a traffic lawyer all the time, right?
I don't call him. Well, yes, I do. I call his assistant.
We met him through incident. And for a school bus going southbound on Himes.
No, we didn't meet him through that incident. Michelle.
I met him through that incident.
Yeah, Michelle, when she was at the state attorney's office, already knew Ty Trainer. Okay.
So I met him through that incident.
Right.
But a school bus turning southbound on Himes into the YMCA can't make it from the right lane. A 40-foot school bus can't make it from the right lane. So the school bus was in the left lane and made a right turn from the left lane.
So
I was in the blind spot.
Did you ever sue the school system?
No, I never sued the school system.
You might have been able to. So you never pursued any kind of settlement for having your car ram through the YMCA parking lot smashing into
it? The YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. They have everything.
I didn't have cameras of that. A video of
there,
it.
There was no surveillance video there.
Think about it.
I can add my own accompaniment, the Fester's car wreck sound effects to the YMCA. So that's the Fester YMCA story, and that's where this came from.
Holy God!
Because he called in the next morning describing Fester's accident, and I said, hey, I think I said something like, What did you think when you see the school bus try to cut Fester off, and then Fester goes flying over the sidewalk, smashing over guardrails, and then head-butting a tree, and the caller said,
"Holy God!"
Oh, Matt. You think he's still alive?
No, he's dead.
Jeez.
He was an older guy.
Yeah, he was in his late 70s, 80 at the time.
He might be 110. You don't know.
Yeah. So that was what? That was, what year was
99.
That?
99.
Was that 99 or 2000, somewhere in there?
It was 2000.
Yeah, well,
so that would enough. He'd be in his late 90s at this point, right? If he were still alive.
Holy God.
Did you hear about Betty White?
Holy God.
It's the MJ Morning Show. Q105.
We got to start a new feature. Hey, Coop, do you have my wheel spin in there? Do you have my wheels? Go ahead and let me bring up my wheel spin sound effect and let me know when you have it. All right? Because I think we ought to start a new feature here on the show. And I think we may, maybe I need to turn us all and put us all into.
Well, you mean the real wheel, right? Not the sound effect. We have a real wheel that we bring in, yeah. Right?
Hold on. Let me bring the wheel in the studio.
Let me help you.
So heavy.
Do you have my wheel?
Spin it.
Yeah, Fester just brought it in.
Okay, here it is.
So here's what I'm thinking. I spin the wheel.
Okay.
Guess what time it is, folks? It's time to play Wheel of Largo.
Never do that again.
What?
That was all right, so loud.
All right, let's do it all. We need to do it all together. You're all in, listen, are you all in the reverb? Froggy, let me hear you.
Hello, am I in reverb?
Yes. All right, Fest, are you in the reverb?
I don't know. Am I in the, yes, I am.
All right, Roxanne?
I'm not in the reverb.
You
yes,
are.
I am.
No, you are in the reverb. Okay, let's try it again. All right, Coop, get ready to spin the wheel as soon as we finish. You ready? It's time to play Wheel of Largo. I need the music. Now, Largo, folks, Largo has produced so many great stories lately.
Per capita, it's really the leader of the state.
It used to be like Pinellas Park, but now Largo is just cranking out these moron stories that are getting national attention. What do you do if you're in Largo? What do you do if there's a tree trimmer working next door and he's just making too much noise? What do you do?
Ooh.
Shoot him?
Break his legs like Polly Walnuts?
I think Fester came closest.
Is it?
Yeah.
You shot him?
Well,
gosh. You shot him?
All right, listen to this.
No, I don't know either.
A Largo man was arrested after he reportedly shot at a tree trimmer.
Attaboy.
Who was working at a property next door. According to an affidavit, Warren Coburn was annoyed because there was just too much noise coming from the next door neighbor's house where tree trimmers were working.
Warren's right.
He was also pissed off at the traffic. There was traffic noise. Well, that's called a street, my friend.
No.
Anyway, witnesses told police he threatened to shoot the landscaping crew next door. Then about 30 minutes later, he actually fired at least two shots at a worker up on a cherry picker. That was four, but yeah, they said at least two, so I added a couple extras.
Jeez, that's like a sitting duck.
He missed every one.
I know.
Yes, Roxanne.
He warned him. He said he was going to do it. He followed through.
No injuries were reported. Police arrested Coburn. First degree attempted murder. And he was booked into the Pinellas County Jail where he's still being held apparently on bond.
Coburn's the hero we need.
My God, you ought to see the mugshot of this guy.
Coop, do you recognize this guy?
Hold on. I'm going to hold it up to the MJ TV camera. Do you have it? Is it good?
Oh, my God, that's my neighbor.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
But
I will say thank you for keeping property values down.
Yeah, it'll be cheaper for you to buy something when the time is right.
Exactly.
Can you see the image? Is it clear on the screen?
Yeah, you can see them.
I'm holding up the mugshot. I'm holding up a Channel 8 story. News Channel 8 did the story. And I'm holding up a picture of this guy's mugshot. And this guy looks like a cranky old, grumpy old man that would fire at tree trimmers up in a bucket truck.
He's a hero.
There's a laundry.
Whoa! What? You just called the guy a hero for opening fire on tree trimmers?
I think tree trimmers and
tree trimmers
and lawn companies need to check themselves.
No, I refuse retraction. No, retract.
Retraction refused.
Beep, 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 beep. Refused.
No,
I have a guy in my neighborhood who has like his lawn company and. His blower isn't tuned right, so it just lets off a high pitch squeal, and it like pierces through the entire neighborhood.
You can't tune blowers; it's not an instrument.
I know. It's a machine. It's an engine. You can.
Guys, I know that lawn guys sometimes make a lot of noise. I know that our friends Mark and Christine, they live on Davis Islands, and they hate the lawn guy next door. It's like they're having like a get-together outside like Saturday night at 6:30, 7:30. Oh. The guy's doing the lawn like at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night. And it seems like we were actually there a couple of months ago. Saturday night, 7:30, their lawn guy is doing the house 7 o'clock, 7:30 on a Saturday night. And it's like he operated the lawn, the leaf blower, like 20 times longer than you needed to. So there are some annoying lawn folks out there tree trimmers, but you can't open fire on them, Fester.
So what's the threshold? Bear spray?
I sure as hell hope you're kidding.
What did I say?
Dude, you seem to condone shooting at a lawn guy or a tree trimming guy if he's making too much noise at the neighbor's house next door? Are you out of your freaking mind? All right, so folks, if you're just tuning in.
You said it like three times before you even noticed it, by the way. Did you say he's the hero we always need?
He's not the hero we deserve, but he's the hero we need.
Yeah, he said that he didn't even notice it.
Villains can be heroes.
That is reckless. No.
Okay.
You cannot. Listen, you can go out and you can yell at the lawn guy. You can say, hey, listen, you're making too much noise. Yeah, first of all, aren't there regulations? Aren't there city codes that you're not supposed to fire up like lawnmowers and leaf blowers before a certain time? Rox, I hate to task you with this, but you're the most efficient.
Hold on.
Did you just give me a... what was that?
Go ahead, Rox.
What was that?
Because I just heard the word task and I got...
Ugh. Well, but you're the most efficient.
My fingers are fast. I'm a fast typer. What do you want me to type?
If I ask Fester to type something, his big old sausage fingers would be typing all the wrong letters.
I've actually resorted to dragging my tongue across the keyboard.
Oh, God.
Listen, I've noticed.
All right, fine.
What do you want me to type?
Just type in City of Tampa or Noise Ordinance Lawnmower. Or we can check. Hey, Coop, do me a favor. You check St. Petersburg or Clearwater.
Oh, there's a whole manual. Okay.
Yeah, a whole manual.
It's probably like 7 a.m. or something.
Seriously, I think there's a certain time, and it might vary on weekdays, and weekends might have different times. What do you have? Tell me what you have.
Blah, blah, blah. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. business day, or Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Sunday and public holidays.
All right, so that's where... What does it say exactly?
I just jumbled everything together. Okay.
But is it specifically to say, does it say lawn care, lawn mowers, leaf blowers, weed whackers? What does it say?
Lawn mower and power tool noise is only permitted... Yep. Business days, and Saturday, 7 to 7.
Okay.
And then Sunday and public holidays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m.
So you cannot make noise before that time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, if you're just tuning in, I just need to do a little cleanup here on Isle Fester.
Okay, hold on. Who's pissed at this?
The lawn guy?
No. I'm pissed at this because it's inappropriate. So, folks, here's the deal. Last segment, we're doing some moron stories, and I said, hey, listen, Wheel of Largo comes up with this now. In Largo, this dude shoots at the tree trimmers working next door because they were making too much noise. This nut job was arrested in Largo because he shot at a tree trimmer up in a bucket truck. Warren Colburn didn't like the noise coming from the neighbor's house next door as trees were being trimmed, and he opens fire. Luckily, the guy didn't hit anyone, missed it, and then Fester seemed to condone the behavior that lawn people and tree trimmers make too much noise, and this is acceptable. It is not acceptable!
You walk up to a lawn company or a lawn tree guy, and you say, hey, you're making too much noise. And what are they going to say? Oh, yeah, sorry about that. And they go right back at it. They go right back to it. You want to send a message.
Dude, that's their job.
Okay, listen.
That is their job. That's what they do. The equipment makes noise. Fester, in no way, in no universe is it acceptable if you're pissed at the noise coming from the power tools next door, in no way is it acceptable to open fire on them. Are you out of your freaking mind?
All right, because...
I don't think you really mean it.
Because winks are silent. You can't hear me wink on the radio, but watch this. I don't condone shooting at lawn companies. Clink, clink. Okay.
Wait, I heard that.
Huh? You heard my little clink, 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 clink?
I heard that one.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
maybe they could just go all electric equipment.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, the electric stuff does make less noise than the internal combustion engine stuff. Like, I don't some cities have ordinances now where they've banned, like, gasoline powered leaf blowers and you have to use electric or battery operated leaf blowers?
I bought a lithium battery leaf blower. It's great.
I'll tell you what drives me nuts. And then I'm moving on from this. And okay. Fester, you're unacceptable. You're out of freaking line.
Is it deplorable?
You're out of line.
Am I reprehensible?
Dude, you know what?
You're shocking.
Stop being a smartass.
What?
I'm going to put you in timeout.
Clink, clink.
I'm going to stick you with a quarter. You're going to be seen on the MJ TV cameras. You're going to be in the corner. I'm going to time out you in the corner. But all right, before I move on to other more important things here, you know what drives me nuts? Speaking of leaf blowers, the lawn guys that just blow whatever yard they're working on, they just blow all the leaves into the street. Or they blow them into your yard.
It's, yes.
You know, I'll be leaving my neighborhood. I live in South Tampa, and I'll be on West Shore. And you'll have, like, lawn guys working at houses on West Shore, and they're just blowing all the dirt and leaves on all the passing cars. It's like, come on, there's got to be some ordinance. The lawn guys pick up the leaves, rake the leaves, and take them with you. Bag them. But they're too lazy, so the lawn guys, they get their high-powered, their gas-powered leaf blowers, and they blow the leaves all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
All over the neighborhood. When did this start? How is that acceptable just to take your client's leaves and blow them all over other neighbors' yards or into the street? When did that become acceptable? When did that become standard practice for, like, lawn guys?
1982.
Makes you want to pull over and say, excuse me, sir, at the lawn company, please don't blow these leaves into the street because they're going to listen to you. Or,
I don't even say it. Don't Fester, don't even say it.
Well,
you send a message.
I'm just saying. The guy's wrong.
Hey, do we have any lawn guys listening right now?
He's not that wrong.
You know what? I would like to go to the inconsiderate blow leaves all over your neighbor's yard phones right now. If you're a lawn guy, lawn company, if you're in the lawn business, or you just want to weigh in on this, am I the only one that this really pisses off? That you're driving down the road and the lawn guys are just blowing leaves all over your car as you're passing? When did it become acceptable to just blow your client's leaves into the street and at passing cars or in the neighborhood into the street or into other yards?
Homeowners are just as guilty.
All right, let me give out the phone number here. I'd like to go to phones on this. First of all, any lawn folks, is this in a manual? Are you supposed to do this? Is this illegal? Number two. And number three, are there others that are aggravated just like me when you see this and when it happens to you? All right. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. All right. I want to go to phones on this. Let's go to the blow leaves all over the place phones. 800-990-1047. Anyone else aggravated when this happens to you or when you see this? Or I'd like to hear from lawn guys. Do you practice this? And since when is this acceptable? Just pick up, rake your client's leaves, bag it, take it away.
Yeah, and then dump it in MJ's yard because every lawn guy hates you now.
Did you know that it's dangerous for motorcyclists when you do that too? Because the grass is wet and slippery.
Oh, we don't care about them.
Of course I care about them. Oh my God. No. What is wrong with you two?
I don't like motorcyclists are the worst.
Froggy.
I'm just kidding.
You're going to get like Hell's Angels circling your real car.
I mean, between you and Fester today, what are you guys trying to do?
I mean, I would rather piss off a lawn guy than a motorcycle club any day.
Let's go to phones here. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. All right, all the lines are cranking. Let me grab Joe is in Tampa. Joe's a lawn guy. Hey, Joe, welcome to the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hey, how we doing this morning?
Joe, we're great. So you own a lawn care business?
Well, I own a demo cleanup business, and I do a lot of lawns for certain people. And after it happened at my house, the guy, my wife, raked all the leaves. And the guy across the street comes out and blows them in the yard. And the wife says, I'm going to kill that son of a bitch. Excuse me. But so we did it again the next month. She raked every leaf up. The guy does it again, comes out with the blower and blows it all back in the yard. Yeah, we almost got into a knockdown drag out, but now we're good friends. He don't do it anymore because I let him know, don't blow the crap back in my yard.
I know, but it's the rudest thing in the world. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. All right, let me grab Pam. Pam's in Largo. What line is Pam on? Pam's on 4. Hi, Pam. You're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well, Pam. So did I strike a nerve with you on this leaf blower stuff?
Yes, you certainly did. You got to shut your windows when you're driving down the road because everything's coming in your car. And I also want to make a point. I'm trying to figure out why people that run the lawn companies are allowed to park over sidewalks, in turn lanes. They park wherever they want to. And then they blow the leaves in your car.
Now, listen, I don't have an inherent problem with lawn guys. In fact, my lawn care professional has been with us for like 14 years. And he does a great job. Now, I've never seen them blow leaves all over the... I don't think my guy does it. Because I've never seen him do it. But this disturbs me. Pam, thanks for the call. I want to talk to more lawn guys. I want to talk to... Oh, here we go. Richard is in South Tampa. What is Richard on? Richard's on 3? Richard, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi, Richard. Welcome.
How you doing, MJ?
We're doing well. All right. So what is the law? Are you allowed to, as a lawn guy, blow your client's leaves all over the neighborhood?
No. You're supposed to blow them back into their yard. What you were saying earlier about how they should just rake them up and bag them, that just takes time. And most people in South Tampa, they really don't value the lawn guy, and they want to pay as cheap as possible. So why would I go above and beyond when they don't pay for that type of service? So you're not allowed to blow it back into other people's yards.
Well, what about the street? I see the lawn guys blowing the client's leaves all over the street, which ends up in other yards. What's the ruling on blowing the leaves into the street?
There's really not a ruling on it, but good business practice says blow it back into your clients' yards. We're maintenance guys. We maintain. So I like to maintain people's yards to where I put it back in their yard. You know, I'm not trying to create messes for other people. And you're supposed to go around. Good crew leaders are going to go around and blow off the cars, blow off the sidewalks.
And by the way, Richard, I live in South Tampa, and I value my lawn guy very much. My lawn guy's Robbie, and Robbie does a great job.
That's good to hear.
All right, so listen, if you were my lawn guy, I'd respect you, and I wouldn't blow you off, and I would treat you well.
And he'd blow off your driveway.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, buddy. You want to grab 5?
Sure.
All right, Matt is in Clearwater. Apparently, Matt knows the law. Matt in Clearwater, welcome to the MJ Morning Show. You're a lawn guy?
Yep.
All right, tell me what you got.
Yeah, that's the law. About 10, 12 years ago, they came up with the law. You cannot blow debris into the street.
All right, and is that Clearwater only, or what cities?
No, everywhere. Yeah, Pinellas County, Tampa, everywhere.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, there's a law. You have to have it's called the dum-dum class, but you have to have a sticker on your car and an ID card.
Hold on. As a lawn guy, you got to take something called the dum-dum class?
Yeah, that's it.
Wait a minute. Oh, my God.
Are those your words, or that's the actual in the syllabus?
All right, everybody, welcome to the dum-dum class. Today we're going to talk about weed whackers.
Wait a minute. So you've got to go to, like, a city course?
Yep, Pinellas County, yep.
Oh, in Pinellas County, right. and all the lawn guys, all the lawn guys call it the dum-dum class?
Yep, because they go in there and they teach you how to blow leaves correctly. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know what?
I'm here for the dum-dum class.
Yep. And you have to pay for it, too.
You got to pay. So, who teaches the dum-dum class?
It's the extension service.
Oh,
you look
God.
It up. It's everywhere.
All right. So when I see the lawn guys blowing the leaves all over the street to get them out of their client's yard, that is illegal.
Yep. Yeah. If they get pulled over with a county guy and they see a sticker on their car, they'll get a $5,000 fine.
Whoa! Yeah. Whoa! $5,000.
Yep.
You learned that in the dum-dum class.
Wow. All right. Hey, thanks. Yeah. See, that's good information, Matt. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you listening. Nope. And thanks for calling in.
Yep.
All right. Oh, hang on. Susan's in Tampa. Hello, Susan. You're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning, Susan. What up?
Hey, I pay my lawn guy $15 extra when he has to rake and bag my leaves.
Instead of blowing them all over the street, right?
Exactly. And I'm on a cul-de-sac, and I'm in the very middle, and every leaf on my block collects in my yard.
Gotcha. Susan, thanks for the call. One more on this. The phones have exploded. I've hit a nerve here. Liam is in Clearwater. Hello, Liam. You're on the MJ Morning Show, Q105. Welcome.
Hey, Todd and the gang. I just got a fun story pretty quick. A couple years ago, I live in a duplex, and my neighbor, you know, hired a company to come out. So this guy's just blowing leaves and crap all over my side of the duplex. So I got pretty annoyed eventually because, number one, it's early on Sunday mornings. So, you know, I did my own yard work, you know, prior. So I just start grabbing my own leaf blower. And I'm watching this guy in the yard blow all the stuff over to my yard. So I just go out there with my own and I'm just watching him. It's like the Wild West. There's like a fight between leaf blowers, right. And I'm just blowing it right back into their side of the yard. And this guy's just like, it's like a movie.
It's the battle of the blowers.
It's like air wars.
Yeah, it's a standoff. You guys are like at the OK Corral with your blowers.
Yeah, I want to see you get into a weed whacker fight with that fishing twine spinning around at 5,000 RPM.
Tell you what, man.
You can't
fucking
movie. It's the battle.
All right.
He's listening
thanks.
To himself.
Thanks, Liam.
Thanks, Liam. All right. So, hey, listen. I struck a nerve there, guys. I'm telling you. But what did we learn? Apparently, it is illegal, and you could be fined big time if you took the dum-dum class, which I guess you're required to do if you're a licensed lawn guy. And if you blow all the debris into the street, that caller said it could be a $5,000 fine. And I see it all day long. Yeah. I got to look for the dum-dum sticker. Did he say that?
No, it's a certification sticker. It's the dum-dum class.
The dum-dum, but I guess that if you take the dum-dum class, you get the dum-dum sticker from the dum-dum class.
You get the license to
get the lollipop.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, and after you finish, on the way out of the class, you get to reach into the bucket and grab a dum-dum.
Oh, thanks.
One of those little lollipops, yeah. You know? Which, by the way, I had some dum-dums recently.
Did you go to the bank? They give them out there.
They have shrunk. The dum-dums are the size of a BB now. Have you noticed that?
They are.
They're tiny. I remember when I was a kid, the dum-dums were much bigger. Now the dum-dum lollipops are like tiny.
Like a little jawbreaker.
No, they're like atoms. They're small as a molecule now.
Cellular level.
It's the MJ Morning Show.
Q105.
Did you cancel Amazon Prime?
No.
I'm talking to our listeners here.
He's not trying to entertain just you.
My question is, for those listening to the show, did you cancel Amazon Prime because of Jeff Bezos's flippant, almost obnoxious commentary, according to some people? All right, so 800-990-1047. Did you cancel Amazon Prime, or on the flip side, do you have no problem with what he said? But some are really ticked off. Like, here's a woman, she said she signed up for Amazon Prime in 2004. Back then, it simply seemed like a good place to buy books. And she said she then realized that the company negatively affects the publishing industry, then learning about the, quote, abysmal treatment of warehouse workers. She said this was the final straw. This was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yes, now she buys her books at Walmart.
By the way, camel's backs are for sale on Amazon, I believe.
It's a high-ticket item.
They're on sale this week.
They're expensive, filled with water.
Let me grab a call or two here. Let me grab Gene in Tampa. Hey, Gene, did you cancel because of the space flight?
Hi, Gene.
I canceled, but not because of the space flight. Hi, how you doing?
Doing what? Why'd you cancel?
Because they fraudulently charged my daughter's charge card $1,000 and membership fees.
Wow.
And I
that paid for Jeff Bezos' spacesuit, by the way. That was his, that paid for his spacesuit.
Right. I know, right? But we'd been fighting them for 3.5 years.
Well, to get the money back?
We finally won.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Stick it to the man, Gene.
Matthew in Tampa. Matthew, did you cancel Amazon Prime because of the space flight?
Oh, God, no. There's no reason to. There's absolutely no reason to. You're right. You don't want to go into a Walmart or a Target. Have you been in those places recently?
I have. I don't mind.
Sometimes it's fine. Other times, it is a madhouse of humanity. It's just a cluster. And right now, with all this resurgence of Delta variant, last places I want to be is in the Walmart.
All right. Thank you. Hey, Matthew, appreciate the call. All right, one more here. Roberto in Tampa. Did you cancel Amazon Prime because of Jeff Bezos' space flight?
Absolutely not. I'm not part of the offend me culture.
Right, so you're not offended? You're fine?
He's got money. He did it. You know,
Let me ask you a question. What if he were to take $100 bills, shoot a video, flush the $100 bills down the toilet and say, hey, this is your Amazon Prime money. I've got so much money. I'm flushing it down the toilet. Would that bother you?
I'd become a plumber and go get it.
Good job, Roberto.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Rise and shine with the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
Froggy just needs to stop mentioning celebrities.
Because 2 for 2, guys.
It seems that when Froggy brings up a celebrity, bad things happen. All right, yeah. A Coop said, are we going to need the meatloaf clips any longer? I said, I think we're done with meatloaf. I love meatloaf. I thought he was fantastic. Loved the music. So I told Coop on Friday. Yeah, I think we're done with the meatloaf clip.
Enemies do darn it forever.
Well, here's the deal. Froggy, 2-3 weeks ago, meatloaf came up on the show? Why?
I forget how meatloaf came up, but we were talking about him. So, for some reason, meatloaf came up on the show, and I started ripping on him.
Right after we got back from Christmas vacation, like January 4th, 5th, 6th, somewhere in there, 7th, somehow Meatloaf came up on the show and Froggy made this disparaging comment. I hate Meatloaf.
I said I wish he'd go away already or something like that.
I don't remember what you said, but you have some Meatloaf?
Please.
Give me some Meatloaf.
Starving.
Where's the Meatloaf?
It's not working. Hold on.
Mom, where's the Meatloaf?
The ghost of Meatloaf is affecting my computer.
Oh,
God, we're haunted. Here we go.
And I remember saying he's possibly the most overrated artist in the history of the world.
And I said, no, Meatloaf was tremendous. Well, that's accurate. But Meatloaf was fantastic. I thought he was a dynamic talent. I love all his music. I think, Bad Outta Hell and all of his albums. The guy sold over 100 million albums. That puts him in massive, massive company. Like Thriller and the Beatles. And
Just felt bad for him. They were pity.
No, they didn't. He was
like, oh, look at this poor guy.
His stuff was great. Meatloaf, rest in peace. I loved you, buddy. And
Thank you, MJ.
So Froggy made a comment disparaging Meatloaf. And look, a couple of weeks later, Meatloaf dies.
Unfortunately, there will be no more answers coming from Meatloaf because he is sleeping eternally.
That is correct. Yes. He is sleeping on it eternally.
So Froggy makes a Meatloaf comment. Meatloaf expires, apparently from COVID. I mean, that's the story.
Yeah, great.
Did that come out after the show on Friday?
It was during the show. We had it.
Did we have that? Did we mention COVID on Friday's show?
I think the Daily Mail was the first to report
it. That's right. We did have it on the show. Late on Friday, the Daily Mail had mentioned COVID for Meatloaf. And then guess what? Froggy also made another comment, and now we have another expired. Now, this broke after the show. We did not have this after during the show. This happened after the show.
When did Froggy make the comment?
That's a good question. Froggy, when did you make the comment about this other gentleman?
When?
It was a couple weeks ago when we were going through the hosts of the popular game show, The Family Feud.
The Family Feud! I don't know how the hell this came up. We were talking about Richard Dawson and the...
Steve Harvey, of course, was...
Right.
The main reason Fester loves the Steve Harvey version of the Family Feud.
And Steve Harvey is the greatest.
He's all right.
I'm not going to say anything. I don't want him to die.
I love everything Steve Harvey does.
You had Richard Dawson, Ray Combs. He hanged himself.
Remember? It was a tough gig.
I mean, that job's not for everybody.
Ray Combs, he was a host on Family Feud. And then, of course, Froggy brought up Louis Anderson.
Louis Anderson's version of the Feud. Let's not forget. Who's the guy from Home Improvement?
Carnes.
Oh, that's a Richard.
Richard Carnes.
Right.
But wait, didn't you mention him, Louis Anderson, in the capacity of, did he pass away?
I said, I can't believe he's still alive, and he's the worst host ever. Now,
the point is, Rox, is that, again, like a week or 10 days ago, Froggy...
Excuse me. Oh my God, I disparaged you a little while ago. Are you going to drop?
Okay. No, I'm okay. Just joking. All right, so... Froggy made a comment disparaging Louis Anderson as like the worst host on Family Feud, and then Louis Anderson drops dead on Friday. I mean, he was sick, so
I didn't know he was sick. Did
who,
you?
Who? Yeah. Who was it that said that they visited him?
It was not Paul. Me.
Which comedian?
No, it wasn't you, Roxanne. Yes, so we didn't think it was you, but thanks for clarifying
which,
that. Hon.
Which comedian? Someone
it
went
was
to
Pauly
visit.
Pauly Shore.
Right, right. So Pauly Shore. Went to visit Louis Anderson in the hospital, and Pauly Shore actually put out a tweet that said that, you know, something like things didn't look good. And
okay, if Pauly Shore comes to visit me, I'm pulling the plug on myself.
Oh, Jesus. I'm down to Pauly Shore coming to visit me.
Hey, what's up, Wheeze? Oh, God.
Pauly, do me a favor. Step on that oxygen. Step on the oxygen tube, please.
So, Pauly Shore went to visit Louis Anderson, but. Not before Froggy made a disparaging comment about Louis Anderson as the host of Family Feud like a week or 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago. And now look what happened to Louis Anderson.
Wait a second. It was 2 weeks for Meatloaf and now it was 10 days for Louis Anderson. So your disparaging death powers are increasing.
Oh, my gosh.
My God.
You know who I really don't like? I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say anything.
Hey, Coop, do you have the clip? We have Louis Anderson on Family.
Yeah, I've never actually seen this, so I thought he was kind of funny.
How long was he host? I don't think it was long.
Just a couple seasons, you know. They said the gap in my teeth were too big.
This clip says it's 1999.
Really? That long ago?
So he was host from 99 to 2002.
Oh, that long?
Yeah, well, three seasons.
He was so terrible.
Is it that long?
Could have been four seasons, because 99... 2000, 2001, 2002. That could be four seasons. All right, let me hear the clip. Go ahead, roll.
Because it's time to play the Family Feud! Now, here's the host of our show, Louis
Anderson! Thank you! Thank you! Welcome to the Family Feud. It's the Guglielmi family. Wow, that's a weird name, isn't it?
hit pause.
Right.
Hit
pause. Locking in
the Guglielmi family? Ooh, goo. Ooh, what's that goo off the Guglielmi family?
I hope they won.
Listen to his voice.
By the way, when he started speaking, I thought that was Froggy doing the impression at first.
I told you, I'm dead on with it.
He's not that hard. It's not that hard.
Anybody can do it. Faster, you can do it.
I'm to the Feud.
Now we have the Guglielmi family.
Go ahead, let me hear it, Fester.
Welcome to the Feud.
Welcome to the Feud. It's Louis.
The Guglielmi family. That's a weird name.
That is a weird name, the Guglielmi family.
I would like
like to do the rest of this show in Louis Anderson voice as a tribute.
Roxanne, let's hear your Louis.
I'm not even. I can't compete with you guys.
No, Roxanne, no. I want
to. How do I do it? Do it, give me a demo thing.
We're on the air in 3, 2, 1, and
welcome to the Family Feud.
That wasn't bad. That's pretty good.
If there was a female Louis, you would be in.
Hey, which wasn't too far off from the truth.
I want to hear more real Louie.
Yeah.
What was his controversy? He was involved in some kind of controversy. Well, and by the way, rest in peace, Louie Anderson.
I heard he was a great guy, really.
I have nothing bad to say about Louie Anderson. Louie Anderson, rest in peace. But there was some controversy.
If I remember right.
Well, what does Wikipedia say?
I haven't found it for 10 minutes. I haven't found it. Wasn't there a time that somebody was a guy was trying to blackmail him as his lover and out him as being gay, and the FBI got involved?
Maybe that was. I just remember there was some controversy involving Louis Anderson.
1997 blackmailing incident. Yeah, blackmailing incident.
Here it is from Wikipedia. 1997, Anderson was blackmailed by a man named Richard John Gordon, not Richard Dawson.
No,
Gordon demanded money from Anderson, threatening to reveal to the tabloids that Anderson reportedly sexually propositioned him in a casino in 1993. Between 1997 and 1998, Anderson paid Gordon $100,000 in hush money, fearing that the story would threaten his starring roles in two family-oriented series. But when Gordon's demands increased to $250,000 in 2000, Anderson's lawyer informed federal authorities. Gordon, who was 31 at the time, was arrested after leading FBI agents on a high-speed chase along Santa Monica Boulevard.
Gosh.
Gordon was fined and sentenced to 21 months in prison.
Oh, my gosh. All right, survey says blackmail.
number one answer on the board, blackmail.
Poor Louie.
Yeah.
Just beat yourself, Louie.
Oh, Louie Anderson, rest in peace.
It's the MJ Morning Show. Q105.
Are you going to also call me a nerd with my little computer tip of the day?
Oh, the tidbit, you mean?
What a nerd. Yeah, Fester's got a problem with me saying tidbit.
Well, no.
Who the hell says tidbit?
Well, no, you say, I have an urgent tidbit.
It's an oxymoron.
So you're saying that urgent and tidbit don't go together, is that it?
No, it doesn't. But what do you have?
If you drop off a laptop for repair at a computer store, and there's some really sensitive crap on that sucker, it might behoove you to pick up that laptop.
That's your tidbit.
Look, Fester's got his, I'm in a smoking jacket with a pipe thinking look on right now.
I have to admit, that's some pretty solid advice.
Or maybe most obvious is least obvious, and if you have some really dangerous material on your laptop, you should drop it off and never go back and hope for the best.
No, that's exactly what happened.
That's what happened.
Nothing's working. Yeah, yeah. Nothing's working.
Of course, we're talking about the Hunter Biden deal and the New York Post yesterday morning getting a hold of the hard drive.
Hard to find that story.
Well,
I didn't even know about it.
Oh, this is a crazy story. And I'm not going to get into the politics of the whole story because don't feel like it. But there's a couple of important things here. If you've got really sensitive stuff, you might want to pick up your laptop so it's not like forfeited. And that's what happened. Apparently, it might have been Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son. And there's a whole controversy over this Burisma thing in the Ukraine. I'm not getting into those deets. But he drops off a computer, apparently had water damage. It was a MacBook Pro. And he dropped it off at a computer store in Delaware to get fixed and never picked it up. And then the computer store owner starts going through the computer and finds out that it must have belonged to Biden because all kinds of emails in there regarding Hunter Biden and the vice president. There's a lot of sensitive crap in there.
Computers at computer stores have got to be like storage units where if you don't pay for it after a while, they own it.
It's like Storage Wars. Who wants me? Big old. Yep, exactly.
I love it had water damage. It's almost like Hunter may have tried to sink it first, and that didn't work. And said, I'll just drop it off here. And
I don't know what the heck the deal is.
Burn that thing. But what are you doing?
You guys are way off base. They've released pictures, and there's selfies of Hunter in a bathtub.
Ew. Well, it's supposed
to get... his computer.
It's supposed to get even worse than that. So the computer was dropped off at this repair store in Delaware back in April of 2019, and there was a Bo Biden Foundation sticker on the outside of the computer.
That was the clue.
The shop owner said he couldn't positively identify Hunter Biden as the guy that dropped off the computer.
Because he can't see that well.
Well, the bottom line is it was either him or somebody very close to him, but then they abandoned the computer, and it turns out there's all kinds of sensitive emails which are problematic. The New York Post gets a hold of the hard drive because the owner of the computer store gave the original computer to the feds, I guess called the FBI, and they got the computer, and this is like last December. The computer was dropped off in April of 2019. The feds got the computer in December of 2019, apparently, but the owner of the computer store made a copy of the hard drive. So he made a and the New York Post was given the hard drive recently by, I think it was Rudy Giuliani's lawyer.
Wow.
Is what happened. Yeah.
Cashed in.
Wow.
And if you have this story from the New York Post, and you've tried to post it on Facebook or Twitter, you could have your account disabled on Twitter. They did that to Kayleigh McEnany.
See, that's wrong.
Right.
Now, you might not like Trump. You might not like Biden. Whatever side you're on here, that's a news story. Facebook and Twitter should not block an actual news story. I would say the same thing if it was a Biden story that was smacking Trump. If they had Trump under some kind of suspicion. It's a news story, and Twitter and Facebook should not have blocked the story, regardless of party, regardless of Democrat, Republican.
The best part of this story hasn't even been dropped yet.
Well, you're talking about the 12-minute video? Yeah.
That's a pre-election day bomb coming.
Well, this is what you call an October surprise.
Right.
And this was planned. There's a reason why this hard drive was given to the New York Post here in October.
They've just been waiting.
They've been waiting to drop this thing. It's an October surprise. And allegedly, there's a raunchy 12-minute video that apparently shows Hunter Biden smoking crack and engaging in a sex act with an unidentified woman.
What?
Yeah.
Which is
I haven't even read the story yet. I'm waiting for you to tell me.
And then there are other sexually explicit images allegedly on this hard drive. So are those coming out like 2 days from now or just before the election?
Boy, Eric and Don Jr. seem so lame compared to Hunter.
I bet you know what Joe said.
Come on, man. Hey, man, what are you doing, man?
And now we understand why there's a behavioral pattern here. Hunter's dropping things off and forgetting to pick them up. Jeez. It makes sense.
He's all cracked out at one point. Listen, it's not a secret. He's confronted, he's talked about, he's had drug and alcohol problems and all kinds of issues. But again, the underlying theme here, folks, is if you drop off a computer and it's got really sensitive stuff on it, go ahead and pick that thing up from the repair shop and don't let that thing hang.
It's the MJ Morning Show.
Q105.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think the hero music applies here. Coop, you might want to get Mariah Carey's Hero ready to go.
Oh, you definitely do.
Yeah, so Froggy, on vacation, you saved a life.
I did. I've saved a living being.
Please tell us about the story. Froggy, the last person that I would think would save a life on this show, apparently has a very heartwarming story to tell. What happened?
Well, I need the Mariah Carey hero music because I'm a hero. Thank you.
Oh, here it is.
I was in my backyard over the week, and I was enjoying a nice cigar.
Yep.
And I hear a splash in the canal.
You heard a splash in the canal.
I think that's a big fish, but it sounded...
Froggy, hold on a sec. Mariah's about to sing.
There's a hero.
And his name is Froggy.
All right, so tell us what happened.
I heard a splash. I go, that was a weird splash.
You're in your backyard. Yes. You've got your Tampa Bay Canal is in your backyard.
And I was enjoying it, and I heard a splash. And I go, what was that? And then I hear... you know, like whining.
A donkey.
It wasn't a donkey.
Oh, you heard like yapping?
Yeah, I heard yapping. It turns out one of my neighbors on the corner, little dog fell in the canal.
So it wasn't it wasn't a human.
I did not save a human life. I saved, well.
All right, Froggy, Fester's got some sounds. Tell us if the dog yapping sounded like this.
Come here.
Go ahead.
That's how it started, because he was on the dock. He was on the edge, and then imagine a kerplunk sound as he fell into the canal.
So a splash sound.
Then it started going, like that, sort of. So then I go, oh, man, am I going to have to, I have to jump in the water to save this thing, which I don't really want to do.
You couldn't grab a pool net?
No, this thing was across. It was like maybe to where
Kenan Thompson's place is?
Yeah, around there. Like
40, 50 feet away from the dock.
I had to like swim there.
By the way, for those that don't know, Kenan Thompson from Saturday Night Live, his Tampa house is like right behind Froggy.
I think so. I don't know if they've moved or not, but.
Oh, you think they moved?
I don't know. They're not there ever.
Oh.
Very important question. Yes. Have you been in this water before?
You know, one other time I jumped into, I dropped a fishing pole in there and I dove in to get that. It's not a fun experience. There's a lot of barnacles. I've seen sharks.
I've seen sharks also.
Stingrays.
Right, now, how deep is your canal?
I think in the middle it's about 8 feet.
Okay, it's not bad.
All right,
so you jump in the water. What kind of dog was this?
It was like a little, I think it's like a Chihuahua mix. It was a really little dog, black and white. I'm not sure what kind. Now, I was going to say brand.
Where were the owners of the dog? Where were the?
They were not around. They were inside.
Inside, you hear the splash.
I hear
then
the splash. Yak. I'm thinking to myself, I got to jump in to save this thing. Time to be a hero. So I dive in,
right?
Swim to this thing, which was kind of a far swim. I'm not exactly in shape, so I was tired when I got to it.
Yeah, you could have, you know, you hear about those stories about, like, people that go...
I could have drowned.
Yeah, you hear about the stories about people that, like, try to become heroic, and they try to save someone from drowning, and then they end up drowning themselves?
Yes, it happens all the time. So, and I was in, like, 8 feet of water, so I couldn't touch the bottom. I'm not a giant.
We might have had to put a help wanted sign on the outside of the Beasley Broadcast Complex.
Seriously?
You know, everyone's hiring these days.
I'm not sure I should have jumped in to save that thing.
Wanted. Morning show co-host, starting pay $15 an hour.
You're right. Shit. I could have died.
Up to $15 an hour.
And you will need to put your life at risk and jump into things that are lit
on
fire.
Here's what happens. I swim to this thing and I get to it. And
now,
I'm
how
like,
far was the swim? From your dock to where you had to rescue the dog, how far
probably
was
about 40 yards.
40 yards?
It was a long swim.
That's a long swim.
I mean, it was far, but when I'm looking at it, I'm like, I could get there.
Now, was your wife, was Kim outside or the kids?
Nobody was outside.
So
everybody's
no one
inside.
Was there to see that you jumped in.
I didn't tell anybody I was going in.
Oh,
I didn't have time.
God.
The thing would have died.
And so the dog is still doggy paddling the whole
time.
Yes,
and whimpering. So I figure I got like a minute or two to save this thing, you know. I swim to it. I get to him. I'm like, I'm going to die. And I grab him.
Right.
Thing starts biting me. A little bastard starts biting me. He starts going. And I'm going, hey, I'm trying to save your life. What are you doing?
You're trying to reason
and
with
I'm
the
like,
dog?
I'm going into the water. I'm like, sometimes, and I pop up, and I'm like, I'm trying to pick him up with my one hand, and he's like nipping at my wrist. I almost want to just throw him back in the water.
All right, so what happened?
I grab him. He's like going, he's like trying to bite my wrist.
Okay.
I pick him up and I throw him on their dock. Yeah, and he just sort of rolled over and he got up and he ran away.
And then you
And I had to swim back. I almost died.
Then you swam back to your dock.
Then I swam back to my dock. I cut myself on a barnacle. On an oyster bed. I probably have some sort of amoeba in my foot. I don't even know what the hell's going on.
You got sepsis.
I've got MRSA going through my body right now.
You've got eyeball sepsis right now.
But I got back. I climbed in. I saved it. I saved a life.
Froggy is the...
Froggy, and now I'm going to send a bill to my neighbor.
That's my
Froggy,
friend.
The dog saving hero.
That's dog's lucky day.
That's fantastic.
Dog is a prick. It was.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Q105's getting you up on the right side of the bed. The MJ Morning Show.
Started the show out today with just kind of a little dig, just a little sarcasm about Alec Baldwin. And there is a story out that a crisis management expert is saying that Alec Baldwin and Ilaria, they might want to stay off social media for a little bit. And duh, of course, I mean, putting up tone-deaf photos. And it's not just Alec and Ilaria. It's like all the Baldwins. It's, what was it?
Ireland.
Ireland puts up pictures of a bloody Halloween costume after the director got shot and the cinematographer was killed. I mean, how nuts. And then you've got Alec Baldwin with a smile and he's with the kids in a photo that's posted on Instagram and they're all dressed up for Halloween. It's like, you know, lay low. I mean, stop.
Yesterday, another action-packed news-breaking day in the Baldwin household.
More stuff?
Oh, with the cat?
The cat!
Oh, now they got... Yeah, hold on. Let's deal with Roxanne. So, we're talking about this crisis management expert who's weighing in about, hey, you know, the Baldwins might not want to post on social media right now. Yeah, no schnit, Sherlock! Yeah, obviously!
This is a really good crisis manager. I mean, he's pointing that out right out of the gate.
Oh, yeah. You might want to lay low on social media right now after you shoot your camera cinematographer and your director on the movie set. Yeah, might want to lay low for... And then Roxanne just volunteers out of nowhere, hey, you know, I do crisis management. And we're like...
Currently you do it.
We're like, when? And then Roxanne says, last year.
I do it every year.
Yeah, well, I do. I do it usually once a year.
What is this crisis management thing you do? Is this a little side gig?
It is.
What crisis happens annually?
I do it for NFL football players. So guys who are getting ready to go into the combine, getting ready to get drafted.
Yes. This is the NFL crisis management team with Roxanne.
Hey, Roxanne, what do I do?
And Terry Bradshaw.
I just murdered my family, Roxanne. What do I do?
Nothing that severe has come across my crisis management desk so
far.
That's
horrible advice. I'm screwed.
What's your advice?
I do have the advice.
What's your advice for that LA or Las Vegas Raiders guy from
Oh yeah. That's terrible. I read that story.
How would you do that?
You want crisis management?
Yeah.
Call Las Vegas Raiders and offer your services to Henry Ruggs III.
The rug man. I don't even know who the hell he is, but listen, this dude for the Raiders, he apparently got all lit and loaded like at Top Golf. Yeah. You know, we've got Top Golf. You know, Top Golf, he's like all loaded and then drives home and gets into an accident and has a DUI, you know, homicide situation.
Yeah, when there's death involved, okay, there's a process that you use in crisis management, the three H's.
All right, how the hell do you know about, what is your official training in crisis management?
I'm a media coach for NFL players, and I do a little bit of crisis management work for them as they prepare.
Are you trained, or
yes,
are you just...
I'm trained.
Name one NFL player.
I can't name them because I sign confidentiality agreements. This is what happens.
Did you go to college? How did you get certified in crisis management?
You don't get certified in it. You just do it.
Yeah. Right, so if I decide that I'm going to be...
You want to do it, you could do it.
I want to be a United Nations nuclear weapons inspector. I'm just going to declare myself that.
You're in.
No.
To be the inspector, you need to be certified. However, once the bomb goes off,
right,
and you're just crisis management,
I'm in.
Roxanne can come in and be like, Chernobyl.
How many people have you counseled in crisis management?
Probably six.
Any names we'd recognize?
You know, if you went through NFL rosters, you would see them. So let me give you an example.
Have you been on the phone with John Gruden with the whole controversy?
No, he could use your help.
Was it Junior Seau, one of your clients?
He would be actually... Oh, that's sad. No, actually, the thing that you need to remember in crisis management is very simple. I can teach all of you to be crisis managers.
Aaron Hernandez, another one you helped?
I can teach all of you to be neurosurgeons. Okay, go ahead.
The three H's. Now, in Alec's instance and in this Raiders instance, it's only going to be two double H's, and you'll see why.
Help.
Three H's.
Help, help, and help.
Holy crap, help.
All you have to do is come out, and number one H, be honest. Come to terms with what you did. Tell everybody what you did. Honesty is step one. Then number two, humility. obviously, Alec is violating that at every step of the way because he's out there being like a narcissist and putting things in people's face and tweeting, or his wife is. And then the H, hilaria. No, the last H is, is humor, which Alec will never get to that stage, and this Raiders player would never get to that stage.
No,
because
no,
when you have a death.
If you've got a crisis, humor. You don't humor.
No, you
that's
do.
The worst
no,
advice
no, 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 no.
What do you mean?
Oh,
you're, wait a sec. Yes.
I murdered somebody. Knock, knock.
Laugh. But humor. I will tell you that in even crisis situations, once you're past it and once you've gone through the stages, you can get to the stage where you can sort of laugh it off when people ask you about it in a way that self-deprecates you as the perp. Okay. So this, I'll give you an example. I have a player who was involved in a crime that never came to light in the media, right. But yet, you know, the NFL combine, the coaches and the execs, they do their homework. So they knew about it. So I had to prepare him to have the answers when they asked him about that crime.
I don't believe it.
What answer? What?
This is insane.
So what was the crime?
The crime was a robbery.
What? So a college player was involved in a robbery. NFL teams are going to ask him about it at the combine.
Right.
One, be honest about the robbery.
What are we doing?
Exactly. Explain what happened.
Hold on a second. Roxanne on the line.
Hang on a minute. Hang on. All right. So I'm going to follow Roxanne's advice. Okay, I'm walking out now in front of all the cameras and humor. Folks, you know, you might have heard that I've done very well in my display at the combine, and there are tons of teams that are interested. And I just wanted to really confront head on the fact that I robbed the Circle K at 3 o'clock in the morning. I put a gigantic Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum right in the clerk's face. Oh. And by the way,
All right, that's funny.
You were doing really good with the first H, honesty, and the humility was there until the
last. By the way,
Coop,
there's a much better Krusty the Clown laugh. Can you?
Yeah, the whole thing.
That's not a really good one. You got to find like the 10 hours of nonstop Krusty the Clown laugh. Yeah, see if you can find that one and play that one. Yeah, there's a much better Krusty the Clown. That was like a lame one.
Yes, I've been accused of...
Not the expert on Krusty the Clown.
Just type in Krusty the Clown laugh on YouTube, and there's like a much better one. It's like the full-throated Krusty the Clown laugh. So let me know when you find that. What are we going to say, Froggy? We'll test it out with you.
No, they're just doing the perp walk, and they're like, hey, have you guys heard the one about the two guys who walked into the bar?
Huh? And then stuck it up and blasted people with a shotgun?
Quack! I'm glad I will never have competition from any of you in crisis management because you don't know how to apply the H's.
Sounds like anybody can be your competition.
But it is true that I did mug 6 old ladies, but I'd like to thank my crisis manager, Roxanne, for helping me through this situation.
That's it.
Oh, that's funny.
There it is. You got to bring humor.
Do you have like a business card for this?
Yeah.
No, it's all on the dark web.
So how do they know to contact you? Like, it's what? They just know all of like the like Drew Rosen. What's the famous manager? Drew Rosen?
Joe Rosenhaus.
Rosenhaus?
Yeah.
Does he know? Wait a sec. I got some really, really good NFL prospects, but there's some crises that need to be diffused. I better call Roxanne.
John Gruden's been trying to get a hold of you for a month.
He's gonna dial her up.
There's pay levels.
Hello, Roxanne.
You see,
call Roxanne 911.
Got her on speed dial.
Get her on the phone.
Roxanne mostly consults with guys who haven't signed their NFL contract
yet. That's correct.
They don't necessarily have a lot of money, so she's like the Kmart of crisis managers. She has like really, really reasonable rates.
So it was what, just a year ago that you did your last, so no one's called. No one's called you for crisis management since January.
That's not my lead. That's not what I try to do. I prefer just to coach guys getting ready for the combine. But if they need that, then that's part of it.
What, are you telling them to jump higher, run faster?
Do you dream all these extra jobs? I'm concerned.
Are you suggesting that this is all in Roxanne's head and this doesn't really exist?
I got pictures.
You know, MJ, I'm a lawyer too. Did you know that? and a doctor.
I'm an airline pilot. In fact, I've got to leave a little early today because I've got to fly a 737 from Tampa International out to Midway, Chicago. Yes.
Guys, I've been firefighting for a little while, so.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.